Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and the Advise Show.
What's going on, everyone? It's time for the radio show. It's Monday night. Hope everyone having a good day. Topic, death of the black community. Now, Ms. Gabriella's on the line. How you doing, Ms. Gabriella?
I'm doing well.
Now, give me your opinion on the topic. I'm going to go ahead and bring Rochelle in, and I'll be right back with you guys. But go ahead, Ms. Gabriella.
When it comes to the black community, I have so many different feelings about it because I don't feel like there needs to be some type of civil war or that we should just try to, like, I've seen people talk about how having some type of movement to exterminate all the hood rats and all that. I don't think that that would really change anything because we need to fix the mentality of black people as a whole. And a lot of that is going to have to come from at home. And it's like, because the situation in the black community is pretty bad. Like, how many times have people came into run-down neighborhoods, cleaned them up, got rid of all the spray paint, fixed all the broken playground equipment, built libraries and community centers and everything else, and then 2 weeks later, well, I wouldn't say 2 weeks, okay, about 6 months later, it looks like a war zone again. And it really comes down to the mentality of the people because it's the same situation as it is in Africa. It's not, like, we have to, as a community, come together and create some type of rules because, like, if you've ever been to a third world country, there's things that go on that would never happen here. People urinating in the streets. There is no proper sanitation. There's open gutters. There is corruption. There's violence. People can basically get away with anything. And in certain parts of black, In the black community, we have things like that. Of course, people aren't out there urinating in the streets and everything else, but we still have a lack of respect for one another because 50, 60 years ago, we would never see someone, a black man shooting another black man because he stepped on his shoe, you know? And I don't always, but when it does come to black people, I don't always say, oh, well, you know, all these hood rats are so horrible. They're the worst people in the world because a lot of them just don't know better. Because if you knew better, you would do better. And a lot of them don't really live in an environment that's going to help them thrive to be the best person you can be. Like some people say, oh, you need to get out of the hood, get out of the hood, get out of the hood. But a lot of people don't have anywhere to go. A lot of them they have no job, no education, and no money. And it's not always so easy to just get out because a lot of them have grown up in situations where they look around and they don't see anybody doing any better than them. So they don't really have anybody to really push them and motivate them to get out. And all over the country, black schools are getting shut down. And the schools that are the predominantly black high schools are basically hoodlum factories. There's no textbooks in there. The teachers don't have no idea what they're talking about. They'll give you a packet, and they don't really try to teach you anything. It's just, let's teach you how to pass a test and then get you out of here. So people are just growing up without any proper education, no proper role model. And so what are they supposed to do? I don't always blame them. I don't always say, oh, it's the hood rat's fault, because a lot of them, they can't control where they're born, and they don't have anybody to really show them anything else. And so you kind of become a victim of your own environment.
Am I online?
Mm-hmm.
I am. I personally think, hello everyone, I think black people need a swift kick in the ass. And I'm not just talking about hood blacks either, quote unquote hood. I have a bigger issue with the collegiate blacks, or so-called, than I do with any quote hood people. Because I think blacks have become apathetic. I think they become without shame, without virtue, and they wear immorality like a virtue. But blacks are really, they're no different than the rest of American society right now. They're living on a reputation they used to have. And as long as we have older blacks, and some of them, I understand where they're coming from, 70 and up, I understand where they're coming from, and they don't want to air out their dirty laundry because of the trials and tribulations they've been through. But it's time to air it out, because it's not just the hood blacks, it's the collegiate ones. It's a lot of blacks need a swift kick in the ass, and no other segment in society can really say these things, because if they're white, they're branded a racist, and don't get me wrong, there are still some good old American racists, but if you're stating the obvious and you're a working person in this country, I can't be mad at you for talking about the shortcomings of this community, and you're making money off this community. And a lot of blacks, to me, they don't need welfare. They need priority, because you have to remember, two or three generations ago, welfare only really got started in like the late 50s, early 60s. Our people did it with no welfare, like most Americans, no welfare. America on a whole has become an entitlement society, but blacks is detrimental. This woe is me, my ancestors were slaves, and all this other stuff, because my ancestors were slaves too, and you can't convince me this is what they had in mind. I know it's not what they had in mind. And like I said, it's not just the hood ones. I'm talking about the so-called celebrities. Now, most of them can't get arrested these days without a scandal, and they'll do anything to stay in front of the camera for this money that's becoming more and more worthless. I'm talking about these collegiate blacks. We got our collegiate women that's supposed to be the best that we have to offer, and yet they're single mothers just like the ones in the hood. And the ones in the hood know what they're doing. They absolutely know what they're doing. I know they know what they're doing, because if a person like me says something, they want to get mad and fight. If you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have the real need to want to fight someone. And you can't, as far as the black schools and all that's getting shut down, I say, hey, shut them down. Listen up, black America. You can't live like it's 40 years ago, 50 years ago, because it's not. If you as a so-called mother or father, don't you wait till the schools are about to close now and you're not working every day, you're not paying taxes, property taxes to pay for the schools, and your kids are wreaking havoc, shut them down. And since it's always the teacher's fault anyway, from what I hear, I don't have children yet, if it's always the teacher's fault, hey, keep your little darling at home all day and you teach them and raise them. But I will not feel any sympathy for these people, because I am black and you can't sell me on this nonsense, and I think we can do better. I know we can. And it seems as though the rest of society, they're scared of us doing better on the one hand, but even on the other, they want you to do better, because America's in a messed up place right now. And life is not your rap video. To all the so-called rappers on Twitter and Facebook and all this other stuff, it's not going to happen. You're not going to be a rapper, and you chicks, you're not going to be video models. So strip down that weave that you're paying for, too much money for, to these Koreans. Take it off. Try being yourself. Try prioritizing. Don't worry about being a bad bitch. Worry about being a good mother. How about that? Maybe we could start there, and then we could get somewhere. Same thing with you young men and some older men, because this ain't about young either, because I see people in their 50s doing things that they didn't even do in their 20s. It's ridiculous, and our people need shame. They need shame. They don't need welfare. They've had welfare for several decades, and they ain't got us nowhere. And it's not, when it comes to welfare, it'd even be different. If these women, which most of them do not, you women call yourself women, you don't even cook for your children. You'll go to the grocery store, not paying for your groceries now. Now, y'all should be some of the most well-fed, in-shape people in society, because you're not paying for your food. But what do? You go buy everything that's microwavable. You buy a cart full of junk and sugar, which doesn't help your kids because they can't concentrate when they're jacked up on sugar. And you revel in the fact that you're I can't even put it into words. You are a treasonous, trifling, human condom of a woman who should not be allowed to have children if you're not going to take care of them. and you don't get to wear that as a badge of honor, messing up the next generations, and that's just how I feel, be you collegiate or hood, because the community starts with the women, absolutely, and I don't see a lot of women. I see some video whole professional wannabes, and y'all can't even really do that, because a lot of you are out of shape, and we can't see what you look like because you're in your monkey gear 24/7, and you're a disgrace, and you need shame. Black people need shame. They need to bring shame back, amongst other things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just my take on this.
I like the fact that you brought up the collegiate black, because there's a lot of women, because black women are the most educated women in America, or actually most educated people in the country. And yet I've seen how many college-educated women boasting about how I have this degree and that degree, but then when you see the man that they have laying up on their couch, is Taekwon from off the corner with his cornrow tattooed it up and down. I mean, that's the kind of man they have living in their house. And as the saying goes, a nation can rise no higher than its women. And when you look at the women that are exalted in the black community, we see women, we see the who, like what black woman gets the most attention? Not, you can post up a picture of a girl with natural hair, or even if she has weave, whatever, it doesn't matter. A beautiful girl with a graduation outfit on saying, Annie Mae graduated from Harvard with a 4.0 GPA, and you'll probably only get like 5 likes on it. But let you turn around and have a picture of some tattooed stripper, I mean, you get like 5,000 likes and comments on it. And so in our community, we uplift and we glorify women that haven't really done anything. They don't contribute anything to society, but we don't glorify the women that actually are doing something.
Well, I kind of disagree with that, because you know what? Strippers and exotic dancers, a lot of these quote-unquote baby mamas and these bad bitches have messed that up too, because a true exotic dancer, and shouts out to North Carolina because they got some, true exotic dancer, she'll work on her body. You won't catch her eating McDonald's. She puts routines together. That is physical work. She is working. My problem becomes these attention whores I see on Facebook that are not strippers, because you're not in shape enough to be, or if you are a stripper, you're in a trick spot in whatever city. You messed that up too. You can't have it both ways. A lot of these women don't seem to understand it. You can't be a stripper and have kids while you're doing your twerk video and whatnot online. I have a real big issue with that. Adult things should be for the adults. Now, as far as our collegiate women are concerned, I was talking to a black woman the other day, and one of the biggest things they do out here in Philly, if you're talking to someone, I say, in their 40s, they'll say, well, my kids have been to college. Again, we're not in yesteryear America. To me, every black person walking in this country should be able to do a year of college without a problem, because we've been here the longest. Now, it's like I told her, college over the last 2 decades especially has become about money. They'll give a monkey a student loan as long as they walk through the doors. I go to school right now, and I'm seeing, and I went to school in 2003, and the difference in the college, the student body is ridiculous. And even there, our black girls and boys don't know how to turn it off, or at least turn it down. No one's here to appease you. You're paying student loans. And most of these kids, well, young people or people, they cheat. They do a whole bunch of stuff in college to get that piece of paper. And then when they get in the real world, especially in 2014, a lot of these collegiate people, blacks really need to stop. Well, I went to college. I went to college, because a lot of you aren't going to have jobs in the next 10 years. You're not. You're going to be living with your parents. Like, well, that's what's happening now. See, I don't live with my parents. I haven't since I was 17. And I'm not one of these young women. I have a father. My mother is deceased. So my walk of life is a little different, and my take on life is different. And a lot of these black women are in for a rude awakening. And the reason she has Taekwon on her couch, in all fairness, is because too many brothers think they're going to be the next whoever rapper. And you're not. You may be good. I get tired of hearing, but I'm really good. I heard it from your state, Gabrielle. Haven't been to Texas yet, and the rest of the East Coast. I done heard so many young men, I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that. You're not going to be a rapper. And you would have made a better shoe repair man. You would have made, we need some of those. You would have made a better garbage man. You would have made a better teacher. But no, you want that life that does not exist. It's not real.
Do you know how many, I know a lot of rappers personally, so I can attest to this. You, like, I've known, like, I know people that have, like, people have made, gotten record deals and lost them. People who have been in the industry for a long time. But contrary to popular belief, rappers don't have a lot of money. They don't. So
I
even if you, quote, unquote, do make it as a rapper, that's not a guarantee. We need to strive to do something else. I mean, I have utmost respect. Just like you said, you have respect for you know, the women who are exotic dancers. If you actually are willing to work for your craft and you're really going to turn it into a business, more power to you. But too many of these people want to get into the entertainment industry but don't want to treat it like a business. I agree. For people being entrepreneurs. I always push entrepreneurship to everybody I know because having a job does not always guarantee that you're going to have something. I know plenty of people who have gotten laid off, people who have gotten fired, people who your company can go bankrupt and you're left with nothing. So having a job doesn't always guarantee that you're going to have money. But if you are going to go the entrepreneurship route, you need to go about it the right way. You can't just say, oh, I want to be a rapper. I don't care how good your music is. If you don't know how to market yourself correctly, I don't care.
Well,
you can be the best.
Well, I do care how good your music is. I'm sorry to cut you off, but my username is Nisa Hip Hop Forever. And the reason I gave myself that name is because a few years ago, a lot of the rappers, the big timers, were calling these guys the nephews and all this. Well, there's a lot of black women who helped build hip hop. And here's the thing. If you do music, quote, do music, and you don't play music, guess what? You're not going to make it. And I agree with you. Some things are marketing and whatnot, but a musician, which rappers are supposed to be, knows how to play an instrument, because I can guarantee you Manny Fresh knows how to play an instrument. Lil Wayne knows how to play an instrument. Jay-Z, I'm not sure, but I'm sure he's dabbled in instruments, and music is expensive. And no, you can't just do music, and we don't need any more rappers. I'm sick of hearing it. You said you know a lot of rappers personally. So do I, because you're a black woman. Every brother I meet, no matter
every
how.
Black knows a rapper. I'm pretty sure every black person knows a rapper. So that's not really a big deal. I'm just saying, from experience, rappers don't have a lot of money, and it's like we don't need any more of those.
But it is a big deal.
Entertainers do we need? That's the thing.
It is an absolute big deal. It's a big deal to me because I always keep in mind, Gabrielle, that these rappers are raising our kids. It does make a difference. It absolutely makes a difference. Because, unfortunately, there's too many four-year-olds that know a 2 Chainz song but can barely recite their ABCs. They're raising these kids where their sorry-ass, bum-ass, thirsty-ass fathers or so-called fathers are not. This is a problem. They're not being taught. You know what? Guess what? There was a time in this country there were no black cops in our major cities. And we hate the cops. We hate the cops. We need cops because a lot of you are so wild out here. What about those black men? They don't get held up. What about the mass op? Well, I live in Philly again, and SEPTA is one of the best transit system, is the best transit system in the country. And most of these young men out here want to roll the dice on a world-renowned rapper, because you know that doesn't take any hard work, instead of wanting to work on those trolley lines like their grandfathers did. There ain't no bad bitches when it comes to that hard work. And who are we kidding? Most of these younger men, and I'm not saying 20s young, I'm saying my age, I'm in my 30s, and hell, even 40s. They shy away from hard work, and they think they know everything. And when you know everything, you can learn nothing. And furthermore, hey, I'm sorry that a lot of you didn't come up with a father, but after 18, you're an adult legally. And if you see the way other men handle commerce and handle their dealings and whatnot, you should pick up on something, young men. Young men. And, you know, you're not going to – there's men my age. I've been on dates with men that are 36, 37 years old still talking about they're going to be a rapper. Still talking about they're going to be a rapper,
And when I was saying that it doesn't matter, I wasn't saying that, you know, I don't appreciate what they do, but I feel like we don't need any more. We need to start pushing for black men to do something else.
I don't appreciate what they do.
Yes, you can jump in.
Gotta jump in. All right. Sorry, everybody. I had to step away for a minute. I had a phone call with my realtor, and I had to take that. So, all right. Let me go ahead and add my two cents before we start taking these calls. So we got some calls on the line. I will get to you guys here in a minute. All right. Why I came up with the topic, death of the black community. I don't know what was being said, but enjoy it. Anyway, my position. The reason why I came up with the topic, death of the black community. The black community has been in shambles for a very, very long time. Our family has been broken. We have accepted negativity, crime, drugs. We don't want to take personal responsibility on what we do as people. We don't want to be responsible for our actions. We hate those who try to bring correction to that. We attack them. We belittle them. We try to discredit them, use shaming tactics, all this stuff to get them to shut up. We have people that's been growing up in our community. What was funny?
Just what you said. It just struck me as funny. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so this has been going on for generations, and a lot of people think this is normal, what's going on, because when you raise children in that environment and you tell them, wait a minute, your whole upbringing is just wrong and a lie, you're kind of messing with a person at the core of their being. Now, today we have more and more black people have degrees. As you know, it's been reported, black women, of course, have the most degrees out of every woman in America. But yet, black women don't have the most businesses. Black women don't run the HR departments. They don't run the marketing firms. They don't do any of this stuff. Of course, a lot of that doesn't stem from them not having the knowledge. A lot of that stems from systematic racism as well. But we're at a position now that we got to get away from the old black community that we know of, that accept failure. They accept, you know, criminals on the corner is failure. Having your neighborhoods full of trash is failure. And one thing that we have to do is come out from among that crowd and start something new. We're capable of this. Understand something. If black people, the slaves, built this nation to where it's at today, all the inventions that black people have done in this country, you can't tell me that we cannot start something new and something better. I mean, if you look at, you know, Little Africa, Black Wall Street, what they did in the time period, black people couldn't do a doggone thing. But yet they built a whole city and town by themselves with an airport, with mansions, with doctors, lawyers, jewelers, all their own schools and everything. If they can do it in that time period, we can do it. But we must separate ourselves from the hood rats and the thugs. You can't save them all. Now, if they want to, you know, change their life, hey, welcome them in, help them out best way they can. Everybody needs a second chance. But if they choose not to change, if they choose to, you know, want to deal drugs, they choose to want to kill innocent people, if they want to do that, we need to walk away from them, let them in their vices so we could try to build something else. Because you can't change people that do not want to be changed, no matter what it is. If they're alcoholic, drug addict, if they're a male hoe, female hoe, whatever they want to be, you can't change them. They don't want to change. So my position is let this current system die off so you can resurrect something new. As I stated earlier, y'all telling them, you know, it's kind of like the black community right now is like an old 1970 Pinto. An old school car was a messed up paint job. The rust is showing. You got a hole in the floor and everything. And black people want to keep fixing the Pinto when you got enough talent and money in your community where you can go get you a brand new Mercedes-Benz. And that's what I'm telling you. Leave the Pinto, get the Mercedes-Benz. And if you do that and build businesses and all the things that we need to do, because we have no choice now to build businesses because we're being shut out of these jobs. Because understand something. When it comes to systematic racism, they don't want black people to have a job. They'd rather give a job to other minority groups than give it to black people. And how is it that more black people unemployed that got college degrees, more than anybody that got college degrees? It may be time for us to go back to what we know is business creation, because during segregation, we had businesses. We had grocery stores. We had, you know, plumbers, electricians. We had anything you thought of, we have. And black people aren't broke. Black people have a $1.1 trillion buying power. They have a lot of money. We just don't appropriate our money where it needs to go. That's our biggest problem. And all these other companies and all in other communities know this. That's why they want to set up shop in the black community, because black people are a big consumer. Black people only hold the money in their hand for 6 hours on average. That's why we don't really have money. It's not that we're broke. We just don't know how to keep it. And we don't know how to use money as a tool. And as we separate ourselves from the hood rat and thug with all this just blowing money and get with people that understand marketing, finance, understand all these different things, we can build something so we can leave a legacy for our children to build upon. That's why when I say let that die so we can build something new. So I'm going to go to the first call, and he's been waiting for a little while, so let's go ahead and add him on there. Area code 727, you're on the show.
What's going on, Apostle?
What's up, man? What's on your mind?
I feel like I'm a failure, man, because you think about it, I'm about to graduate from college, and it's just like, you know, like, it's just tearing me down, you know, the hood rats, the thugs, you know, they call me lame, stupid, because I don't do drug dealing.
Okay,
I'm not...
well, hold on, let's stop you right there, because you ever heard that term called consider the source?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So yes. why would you listen to a guy that's hanging out on the street corner all doggone day, got his pants hanging off his behind like a lunatic, doing stuff that can get him a Department of Corrections number, he's going to be a property of some corporation making billions of dollars off of him, and some chick that don't know to stop having babies like a piss dispenser kicking them out. Why would you listen to them? Seriously.
It's just, I mean, I've been listening to this for a while, but I try to tune that out. It's just like, they try to guilt trip me, say, man, you're acting white, man. You're just like the white man.
How do you act white? Explain that to me. How do you act white?
I mean, I just be myself to say, look, I'm not a criminal. I just want to go have something better for my wife and my kids one day. Have something to build off, build wealth.
But see, that's the problem.
Well, that's acting white, then. Okay, well, if that's acting white, that's a compliment. Because coming from somebody who has absolutely nothing... And that should be a compliment to you, because if they're sitting there insulting you and say, "Oh man, you a lame. Oh, I see you reading them books. You think you smart, huh?" They're just saying that because they know they're never gonna have what you have, and they're trying to tear you down and keep you from going far, because they know that like misery loves company, and if they keep tearing people down, they're just gonna have more people running around like them. So I wouldn't take any of the things they say seriously.
It's just not like that. I'm about to grind to a loan debt. You know what I mean? It's just like what I'm saying. It's just like when I get close to my goal, it's always some hood rat or some thug always trying to get in my way, but I'm going to try to bulldoze them out. You know what I mean? But I got good friends telling me the same thing. Look, John, you can't save. Look, JM, you can't save all these people. You know what I mean? I know you like to help people, but you got to run your own race. You know?
Well, I not to be forward, but it doesn't sound like you sit in the black community. Your voice doesn't sound like you sit in the black community. The way you said what you said doesn't sound like you sit in the black community. If you excuse me for being forward, you don't sound like you're in the black community to me.
I mean, I am a black man. I mean, yes, but it's just that, you know.
It just sounds off to me. But as far as school and whatnot's concerned, I would advise you to keep pushing. That's the only thing I can say.
Yeah.
It just doesn't sound that way to me. So keep pushing and ignore the misery.
I mean, you said I'm not from the black community. What do you mean? I just want to know.
It just doesn't sound that way to me. I'm a person of communications, and I study how to listen to messages. Communication is nothing but messages, and just the way what you said and how you said it, it just doesn't sound like that to me.
Well, it's just
I'm on a college campus now.
It's just the fact that, you know, like I'm a lame of my life, you know, people just don't, I mean, like,
Let's see if I can clear all this up. Okay, these people who's telling you this, how are you getting in contact with them?
I mean, I still want to.
But I know thugs ain't in college. So how are you getting in contact with them?
On the city bus.
on a city bus?
City
on a city bus, you're going to run into all kind of people. I mean, that's, you run into some people on a city bus. Okay, some people you don't even know. How do they hurt? How are you allowing them to hurt your feelings, though? That's what I'm trying to figure out. It's not like your feelings is hurt behind people that you don't even know, and they don't even know you from Adam. I'm just trying to figure that out. And if that's the case, I'm going to tell you, like I said, I'm not trying to be offensive, and I'm sorry any ladies that are listening. Man, you need to kind of hold on to your own nuts, man, because you act a little too weak doing that. I'm not laughing. It's not funny. Because
I understand.
People is going to talk to you all kind of ways in your lifetime. If it's them, it's going to be a boss. It's going to be could be the police, some politician, something. You can't get your feelings hurt for everything. You can't. You got to like, whatever. I don't care about them people. Like, I don't even know them people like that. Man, if I got my feelings hurt how people talk to me on YouTube every day, I'd be depressed.
Absolutely. It's just not just that, old high school buddies I ran into, they're saying, who dropped out,
what I'm questioning is, why do their words matter to you like that, though?
I mean, they doesn't, but it's just like in of one ear, out the other. But sometimes when you hear enough of it, it takes a toll. You know what I mean? It's one person said that's whatever it is, what it is. But it's like multiple people. You know what I mean? Maybe about 12 people. But then I realized that's what's in the past. You know, the old JM used to be like that. But now, since I'm getting closer now, the voice has become louder. And I said, you know what? Let me tune them out. You know what I mean? The time is valuable, you know, to me. I'm about to give my bachelor's degree in computer science.
This is what I'm going to tell you before I move on to the next call. I'm going to give you a piece of advice. You can fill your prescription of I don't give a F and take two of them in the morning until you be okay, all right? Because you can't care about people's stuff that they tell you. That's just bottom line. I'm trying to tell you early. Because you start caring about people like that, you're going to be having a lot of depressed days. The only way to the females start telling you stuff, that's when if you don't really be, that's something different, you know. But anyway, I'm going to get on to the next calls. I appreciate you calling.
All right, man.
All right, Rochelle, what you meant by that when he was saying that? I'm still trying to figure out what you were saying, that something didn't add up.
It didn't. Not to me, not to my ears. Just from how he worded it and said it, and his voice didn't sound like it. Just didn't sound like it to me. I could very well be wrong, but just the way he said what he said, I don't feel he sits in the black community, collegiate or not. And it's like you asked him.
Go ahead.
It's like you asked him. You asked him, well, where are you countering these people? And it's been my experience and experience of people I've talked to. Usually, if you're going through that with blacks, it's more so in a social setting or at work or something like that. No one's really going to, unless you're in high school or primary school, is going to really tease you and call you white and whatnot all the way to school. It just didn't make sense to me. It really did, and as I told him, I study communication, and I listen to the messages, and the way he was speaking, it just didn't sound right. He doesn't sound like he's in the black community to me, and I don't mean to be offensive. I'm just being honest.
Okay, really, what's your take on?
When it comes to that, like I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying something in a mean way. But I would say maybe he may be mixed race, or maybe he's not really grown up around a lot of black people, because in my experience, I can speak on countless experiences where I've had people say, oh, well, you're acting white, and that's from school, work environment. I mean, I would never walk down the street and be minding my own business and have someone walk up to me and say, oh, you're lame, you're acting white, or be sitting on the bus minding my own business. How would they even know where you're going? To say,
exactly.
Oh, you're going. So, I don't know.
And with that said, let's move on to the next caller. Area code 918, you on the show? 918?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're there. You hit the one button. All right, well, I guess hang up and call back. Well, anyway, you know, that's something else, you know, that's, you know, killing us in the black community as well. We always trying to tell somebody else they're acting a certain way, like we have to be in a particular box.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually, like I say, if somebody insulting you because you're reading, insulting you because you're researching, and then when you get to the point you're successful, or now all these same black people want this particular loyalty from you, when, you know, a lot of times they was, you know, rejecting you the whole time.
Mm.
And that's why I'm saying we need to build something else and something new. We have the money. Yes, we do. We have the talent in the community, but we need to move away from that, you know, type of mindset. And also a lot of our men, yes, a lot of our young men, I heard y'all talking about them, they got to get a backbone, man up too. Because it ain't no reason for somebody you don't know to be hurting your doggone feelings like that. Because, you know, I know a lot of women got mad at me when I said this, but it's just what I believe. A man's supposed to be strong, a man's supposed to be a protector of the family and the household. And I know a lot of the feminazis got mad because I said that, but oh well, it is what it is. I mean, because, you know, when I see, you know, men doing that, you know, a lot of times the women are happy. And the black man did that for as long as he could, protecting his wife and kids and being the only man working a lot of times, taking care of 10, 12 kids and not running out on them either, you know, and providing for his family. But anyway, let me see if I can go to this next call here. Air code 904, you on the show.
Hey, what's going on, Advice Show?
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. I'm a long-time listener, man. I love what you're doing. I love what you got to say, you know, man. People need to really hear, you know, the message. I mean, because, I mean, the way I see it is, I like the fact that we're having this discussion. I'm not too particularly fond of the term black community, but I understand where you're coming from. It's just
okay,
for
well,
me,
let me
start.
Why don't you like the term?
Let me, yeah, we, me and Ms. Gabrielle got the same thought.
There's nothing against that. There's nothing against
that. No.
Like,
what do you mean by you don't like the term black?
I'm not asking
in a negative way, but what do you mean when you said that?
Okay. Basically, it's just for me, a lot of people see it as when one black person does wrong, we all did wrong. And it puts us in, like, a group mentality where you feel like, like when they put it on the news, you know, like this black man then got arrested for such and such things, like those two guys who stole the chicken or whatever that one time for the Super Bowl or something like that. Every black person feels like we're accountable for those guys, but I'm not accountable for them. I love black people to death. I love everybody to death. But, you know, we got to start, my opinion, as black people, loving ourselves as individuals. Like we got to raise our children to love themselves as individuals despite what other black people do. Despite what the guy down the street wearing his pants, sagging his drawers, they got to love themselves as a human being first and stop letting other races look at us and we put our heads down like, you know, like we ain't just as good as they are. You know, like we're just as good as anybody else.
Hold on. Who does that? Because I don't. I can care less what other people think about me.
No, I don't either, but I see a lot of people do it. You know, when people, like the last caller was saying, like when people like a see somebody trying to do better for themselves, they'll feel like, oh, they're being like another race. They're not being black. So to me, that's just us saying that we must be beneath everybody because every time you try to do better for yourself, somebody tells you you're being like somebody else.
Yeah, and brother, it really is offensive to me when to hear that, like, oh, and you are testing good things to other people. Like, fans, I got pissed off. Let me make sure I read that on this show. This dude come to my channel. I know he was white. And I guess he thought I don't care what you say. He, you know, some people don't agree with me on things, but I guess he thought I was one of these doggone coons. Let me go ahead and read that what he said to me based on my video earlier today. Let me see if I can scroll down here somewhere at the bottom. He told me, where's that at? Oh, he says you're an obviously a member of the black community, but to me, it seems you think like an affluent white male, which is awesome. There needs to be more black men like you with a rational attitude and approach to helping our society. So my response to that was, so you're saying a black person can't be rational on only affluent white men? If a black person is rational on their outlook on life, it's out of the ordinary and it's credited to a white man. Everything good isn't centered around a white man, sir. That's what I see it back. But, you know, they got people that sit up there and want to claim all the good stuff to white people or whatever else. And you're not going to – that offends me more to tell me that, oh, you know, just because I think a certain way, you got to credit to some white man with money. Like, man, forget you. Man, black people have been very influential in this country. We've been scientists. We've been doctors. We've been innovators. We've been all this stuff. We got the history to prove it. So don't be acting like we come from the caves, which we don't. That's not our history, coming from a cave. You know, we are very smart people.
It's, of course, of course. Like, I mean, now, and that definitely needs to stop, definitely, in my opinion. That's a must. Got to put into that, like, somehow. Like, like I was saying earlier, I think, like, individually raising ourselves just to be better, like our kids, instilling it in them. Because, like, it's just a way that it's like, I'm not going to say because it's 2014. I'm going to say because it's a time in history where everybody has the ability to think consciously. We ain't being oppressed, you know, unless we allow ourselves to be oppressed. We have the ability to
research
historically. We never had a time like this in this world where as many people as possible can go out and learn, educate themselves, and be better. So there's no excuse for us to not like know our own history, there's no excuse for us not to feel proud about ourselves, no matter what. Like, all the blunders and all the bad stuff that happened in the past, we know all about that. Let's start feeling happy about ourselves. Let's know our accomplishments. Let's just accomplish more things as human beings. As, you know, we black people, but we're human beings too. And we can just, you know, I mean, I love being black. I never put that down, but I just think we should see ourselves as human beings also, you know, like the, the rest of the world is. What's going on?
May
I jump in, please? May I jump in? Two things what the young man was saying. If we don't want whites saying that because of our good behavior, that's acting white, then we need to stop doing it in our community. And what I mean by that is if you tell a black woman about wearing, not even extensions, weave, because there is a difference, the first thing that will come out of her mouth is white people do it too. Okay, bet. If you talk to 50-something-year-old blacks that were young during the crack era and got turned out, the first thing they'll say is, well, white people do it too. And my response to them is, I don't hold myself to the standard of white. So if you want that to stop, we have to stop. And number two, we are being oppressed. Actually, this country is being oppressed. Because like you said, young man, there's never been a time like this in history, and social media has been one of the most oppressive forces in the last 10, 20 years. And what I mean by that, most of our people, not just young people, both of our people, keep their face in a tablet and a screen. They care more about what's going on with Nene, who gives a shit leaks. LeBron, all these people that are making a mint off of you people.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, you're dumbing yourself down because you have convinced yourself, and the younger ones don't know much better, that for people my age and older, they know better. Mm-hmm. Social media just got here, and that's what's helping oppress you. When you're seeing these images of, especially with the women, when you're seeing these images of all these women wearing weaves and all this stuff, it's validating your behaviors out here.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to live online than it is to live in reality. So we are being oppressed. And unfortunately, a lot of it, we're oppressing ourselves these days.
Oh, yeah.
The white man or whoever, not just the white man, can stand back and laugh because it doesn't take much to rope adult Negroes in 2014.
Oh, yeah, you got black people laughing at black people right now.
Well, black people have been making a mint off of their own people to slavery, and they still do. Well, this is exactly why I give no time to Basketball Wives, Love and Hip Hop series, Tyler Perry. I give no time to these people because I see what you're doing.
I said it's the minstrel show all over again.
And a lot of people live vicariously through these minstrel shows because it's easier to be a fake somebody than a real nobody. Mm-hmm. See, like I said, in my opinion, if blacks don't want whites holding them to a standard, stop holding yourself to a white standard and get back to what you – well, I can't say for some of us because some of us born in the last 70s, 80s, and especially the 90s, this is what they know.
Uh-huh.
This is exactly
what
they know.
A broken system. That's what they know, and that's why I'm saying – this current system needs to die, because if it do not die, you resurrect something better, then you're going to keep, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And, you know, black people at a point, I'm sorry, the black community is like some doggone walking dead zombies right now. They walking around, they dead, but they living, you know what I'm saying, functioning. And all they have is a basic need. That's it. They don't want to educate. They don't, themselves, like you said, social media, yes, it can be bad, but also social media can be good as well. Because due to the fact that we have a wealth of information, I've learned so much about my history, about the things about, you know, things that I should know personally through, you know, the computer. But it, I took my time out to learn that stuff on my own. Researching, you know, and I used to hear them say, oh, black people's original man, and, you know, when all the hotel teachers would to say that. Well, I did the research myself to see if that was true. And, you know, researching, you know, genetics, researching everything, you know, I found out that was true. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's like I found out so many things. You know what I'm saying? So social media is not – go ahead, Ms. Gabriella.
I always say that education is free. And I agree with you. I don't think that social media or just the internet in general is bad. It's what – it's who are you giving your time to, just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one more
thing
to say before I let y'all kick it off.
Hold on, brother. Go ahead, Ms. Gabriella.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I haven't had cable in my house in over a year because I don't listen to the radio either. I completely unplugged myself from that garbage, that programming, because that's all it is. They call it television programming for a reason. And you have to think about what you're doing online. Just because you have internet access does not mean that you need to be entertaining world star hip hop, and you need to be looking at twerk videos, and you need to be giving your time to people who are just spewing utter nonsense. Because you do, I mean, even though you may think that watching Love and Hip Hop or whatever is just entertainment, there is a lot of people that actually do look up to these women as role models. They look at Girls in Bad Girls Club or any other reality TV show as a role model. They don't think it's entertainment. They want to mimic themselves. They wanted to mimic their lives off of these people, and we need to stop. How many videos? Go type on YouTube and look up Love and Hip Hop inspired hair, makeup, and outfits. I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Mm-hmm.
Women want to be like these women they see on TV. They don't take it as entertainment. And you have to recognize that this whole entertainment world is a world that's created. It's not something that you need to mirror your life off of. It's just like you wouldn't go outside, put a Spider-Man suit on, and start swinging around the city like something's really going to happen. You can't look at that. You can't take it slow.
I was going to say, I live in Philly. That may happen.
It may happen. But I'm saying, like,
but
you can't
I get what
take
you're saying.
Something seriously. You can't take it as more than entertainment. You can't sit there and buy and spend $5,000 on an outfit just because a rapper did it. It's entertainment. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of black people mess up at. I was having a discussion with a friend the other day, so I want to hurry and wrap this up, but we were talking about how rappers are probably some of the most materialistic broke people on the planet. And just black people in general, because a lot of us are. We're the most materialistic broke people on the planet. They will spend $300 on a necklace or some earrings or whatever, like a female, these men, instead of putting $300 down on a textbook.
Yeah. Education is not the thing. As long as you're trying to get yourself, you know, looking good to pull some of these, you know, hood rats, that's what they want to do. You could tell a broke dude that, you know, when I talk about that, you know, like, for instance, a bro, like I said, you stand in line for Jordans all day, man. A grown man just say, you know what? I'm gonna order mine online. I get them when I get them. Ain't worried about no tennis shoes. What grown man, you know, got something going on? Gonna stand in line for some shoes? That's just silly. You don't have to do that. You know, I know some people gonna say, well, what about white people with iPhone? They stupid too. I don't stand in line for no dumb phone. Order your junk. The moment. Let me tell you, every time they got something, you can pre-order. Sit at your computer to like 12 o'clock, the moment they say you can pre-order, and then pre-order. Do that. Because most of them got to pre-order. You know what I'm saying? For phones or shoes or whatever, it's going to be that hot. do that. I'd rather sit at my computer for a few hours waiting for that time to tick than be standing in line all day. And a goon could come over there and rob me too. Like, you, that's happened before. The goons show up and rob everybody.
Wow.
That's happened before. Wow. I've done a news story on it. Mm-hmm. Rob, think about it. You're going to get some shoes for $300. Think about it. If you got, you stand in line, $300. You got at least 200 people there. Look, that's a good lick for a goon.
Oh, my God. That's true. They could get like about 10 of their homeboys with AK-47s, come over there and rob everybody.
On the way out.
Walk away a couple $100,000.
Yep.
Crazy.
Just stand in line.
All of them got money.
All of them got money. And these stores don't hire police to be out there watching either. So, you're stupid. I mean, I've seen it. Like, I'll never forget that video. Oh, man, it happened over here at Greens Point Mall when they interviewed that stupid fool and he licked the bottom of the shoe. Mm-hmm. You remember that video?
Yeah, but, you know, he was emulating somebody else, right?
Huh?
He was emulating, I think he was emulating Fat Joe. I believe,
I
like when I was
that
little,
fool
I used to watch
that fool
like
licked
that or whatever.
Let me tell you how backwards, and this is why this current black community got to die. How is you going to spend almost $300 on shoes, then you walk, go catch the bus? How? Get you a car. Man, if I'm going to buy some $300 shoes, I got to get in my car and drive home in them. I'm not about to catch a bus.
Yeah.
Someone can rob you and beat you up and take your shoes as soon as you get them.
That's stupid.
That's another thing that we need to stop doing, because we take material items too seriously. How many black men have gotten killed over somebody stepping on their shoe? As if that just matters.
That's been going on. Ain't nothing new. I remember that growing up. Man, you get yourself beat up, a shot. I remember. I don't know if they still do that today. They used to rob you for your shoes back when I was growing up. That's why you never tell nobody what size shoe you wear. If you walk up, if somebody walk up to you and say, "Hey, man, what size shoe you wear?" like that, and you open your mouth and tell them it's the same size. Shoot, you about to get yourself probably jumped. They're going to take your Jordan. You know what I'm saying? But ain't nothing new. I mean, I grew up in the hood, too. But anyway, hey, brother, I appreciate the call. I need to move on to another caller. All
right, man. Take it easy.
All right, man. Oh, yeah, I remember starter jackets. Used to get people shot. I know starter jackets, of all things. Back in the day, starter jackets was big. And, man, shoot, you get you a starter jacket, that was a status symbol. But, shoot, you better watch yourself, especially if you had that L.A. Raiders starter jacket. That was a popular one, the L.A. Raiders one. And, shoot, you get yourself a ride for that jump. Eric Code 813, you on the show.
Hey, Mr. A, how are you doing? It's Michael C. from Tampa.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm going to go back to the first caller, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm 51 years old. I've been white all my life. And the young lady, I don't know her name.
Rochelle.
Okay. You had an inclination, okay,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't right. I'm going to say what it is. I think it was a white guy calling in. I think it was a troll.
Hold on, the guy JM?
I don't know what his name was. It was 17,
the guy, the first guy
that
I was talking to about the bus?
Yeah, that's across the bridge from me. That's across the bridge over in St. Pete, Clearwater.
Hold on, the guy that called... About to be on the bridge?
Well, he was talking about people, you know, saying stuff on the bus.
Oh, I know who he is. No. He's black. I know who he is.
Okay, cool. Because I get really upset because I felt like he was some white guy trolling.
So did I. And I kind of still feel like it.
That's why I got mad. I thought you didn't say it. And I know you knew
it was the way he worded it. It's what he said and how he worded it.
You have to know him to understand. And Ms. Gabriella know him. Ms. Gabriella knows.
I'm wrong, but that's cool. I just wanted to say what I felt. You know, I just felt like Gabriella was holding back. That's not like you usually.
I understand the man's position. I've talked to him a few times. I'm not going to really say my full assessment, you know, because he's not here. But the thing is, Ms. Gabriella know why I probably held back a little bit on some things, you know. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I just felt like there's some white guy trolling. And listen, like
I've been white
for 51 years. I can talk about being white. I cannot talk about being black. So that's what just pissed me off.
Well, thank you. And if I'm wrong, I'll stand corrected. But I
agree with
you. I'm sorry?
That's what I'm saying. I was wrong. That's what Mr. Ray said. So.
I'll take him at his word as well, because this is my second time being, and I don't have all the equipment and things that the Advice Show does, but
what
I do have is a good ear, and I speak to a lot of people, and what how he worded it, and how his statement, I know, in my heart, I know that wasn't a person that sits in the black community, collegiate or not. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am.
Because
when I said it, he kind of paused.
Well,
yeah.
I know what you was getting at. I know exactly what you was getting at. You were basically saying he really wasn't raised in the hood because the way he comes across. I get that.
Well,
you know,
hood or black community. You could have been born.
No, I don't think he was black. Not hood. I don't think he was
black. That's my opinion, too. Because
of what he said and how he said it. And he knows he's not black because when I said it, he paused for a minute.
Yep.
And he kind of got shocked. And he knows he's listening now that he is a white guy. And to me, he was being condescending. Now, I did hold back, but see, no, I don't. This has nothing to do with hood. That was not a black man on the phone, and I know it wasn't. He knows
it.
I know you are, brother.
I'm gonna tell you, both of you guys are wrong. I know who you guys are.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. So.
All right.
Trust me,
but
if I didn't know, I would ask myself. I would speculate. I'd say, hey, man, you know, I've had trolls come on the show, and I'd play with them. I have fun with them.
You know what? If indeed, and I'll take you, Bernie's black, and my message to him is more power to you, education. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. Don't worry about these guys. You know, these people may have been your friend, whether on the bus, whether in the neighborhood or whatever. They may be your friends now, but they're not paying your electric bill down the road. They're going to pay your mortgage? They can take care of your kids? No, you got to take care of yourself.
Well, thank you for agreeing with me, and I hold my conviction because, like I said, I know in my heart that guy couldn't have been a black guy. I know it. Just out of the way he worded it, and you know it as well. I don't know what it is to be a white soul brother, but you listen to those words.
And I know it.
But clearly there's different dialects.
Hold on.
Let me add something. And this is the issue that I was discussing about, like, the black community as well. We shouldn't be trying to determine and figure out, you know, who's white, who's not. Because I know some black people.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I know a black lady right now. If she was to jump on this phone and start talking, you would think she's talking to a white lady. But if
it wasn't about the talking, it was about what was said. Like she
said,
was
that's right. It was the words he used. And when you ask them where these people are teasing you and the answer he gave, like I said, it's not the voice because if I pick up the phone and if I speak and I've been told I sound white, I haven't gotten jobs because when my appearance doesn't match my voice or my resume.
Okay.
So
hey,
I know exactly where you're coming from. It was how he said it in the words.
You sound black to me. I'm just saying, I'm a white person.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate that as well.
And
I'm being honest. But that gentleman sounded white, and it kind of lit. I was lit when you didn't say, no, you felt something, and you just felt back, and it pissed me off.
Well, like I said, I know who the guy is, and like I said, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I know his history.
Okay.
And Ms. Gabriella knows his history as well. I mean, she can tell you about that, so... You know,
well, I wish him well, man. I wish anybody well. It's just I just felt that way. And I knew Gabriella was like, I just felt it. She was holding back. I'm like, girl, let go. You know? All right, guys. I love this show, and I'm sitting here listening, man. I've been waiting for you to get on air tonight.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Bye.
Good night.
All right, good night. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like I said, you know, I know who some people call, like them. And Gabriella, no, he's called a lot of times. He's talked to me a lot of times, you know, like I say, on Facebook or whatever. So I know, who he is, you know, when he called in. So the moment he told me, if it was somebody I didn't know, even if I had a speculation of that, I'm just not going to go that route because other people have done that before, then they got proven wrong. So I don't want to start doing all this speculation if I don't really have something concrete to go on. But anyway,
Advice, with all due respect, I don't know that. And here's the thing. I stick to my convictions. I'm a woman of conviction. And as I said, I'll stand corrected if I was wrong. But like the gentleman just said, it wasn't his voice. It was what he said in the comments and the way he was saying it. And I still believe that wasn't a black person. I know it wasn't. And just like I said, the pause he took after I said that to him let me know. And it sounds like he was trolling, like the gentleman just said. But if you say you know him, you know your audience better than I do, and I will stand corrected, but I'm just not sold on it. He sounds
okay.
like he was being
All right.
condescending.
All right, well, moving on. Let's go to the next call here. Area code 757, you're on the show.
Hey, what's up, brothers? How y'all doing?
What's going on, man?
Everyone. Hey, First of all, I'm with the I'm with the guy who called in. I believe the guy was a troll, white guy pretending to be black. I'm just saying I had that feeling. It's the same feeling that I'm sure that guy had and I got as a black person and as a co-host had. But it's not how he sounded. Anything is exactly what she said is what he said and how he said it.
Okay, cool.
You know,
let's go on and get to the meat of why you call.
Yeah, this reason why I call, right? I know you guys probably take a little, you know, get a little bit, take offense to what I'm saying, but, you know, I just don't like this term that you're using when you say kill. We got to kill off this black part of the black community. You know,
when did I say that? Hold on. When have I said that you need to kill anybody off?
I'm sorry. My bad. Maybe I'm sorry. Hold on. Look, I thought I heard you say something like
No. Don't think.
We gotta let a part of this community die or something like that.
Okay. Hold on. I'm going to explain to you what I said because I didn't say kill nobody. Not one time.
Well,
I
apologize for that.
Let me explain to you what I said so you can clarify what I said. I said that due to the current system we're in right now, we need to let that element die. And the people that want to do something and move on to create a new and better community, let them do what they want to do. And I said at the beginning of the program, if a dude is a thug and he don't want that life anymore, he wants to turn himself around, then that's a choice he going to make on his own, and anybody can be willing to help him. Same thing with one of these hood rats. You want to get away from doing that stuff and turn her life around, fine. Anybody deserves a second chance. But if you want to stay in that lifestyle of killing people, dealing drugs, doing all this stuff you're doing, and all these hood rats doing the stuff they're doing, let them to their vices. Let's get away from them and build something better. That's what I said.
Okay, so I stand corrected on what you said. But I have a question for you. Yes, what you just said. You said due to the current system. What system is that? The current system. And what was
I'll explain to you the current system. The current system that we have now doesn't value education. It doesn't value the family like it used to value family. We don't have a conservative upbringing. And when I say conservative, I'm not talking about political party Republican stuff, no. I'm talking about a conservative upbringing that we used to have where the kids respected the parents. The parents, you know, took care of their kids. They did what's right. Men were men in their household. The ladies did what they were supposed to do in the household to be a one good family unit. We don't do that anymore. We allow thugs to be on the corners. We don't value our neighborhoods on anything like cleanliness or whatever. Let me tell you something that I've learned, and it's something that black people could also implement when you want to build a different community. When these other communities, they have a thing called homeowner associations. You know what that is?
Yes, I'm part of one.
Okay. Well, you know, as you're part of one, things got to be on point. Grass got to be cut. Trash can't be down. All this other stuff. Or it's going to hit you with a fine. They got some neighborhoods around where I'm at now and even where I'm trying to buy a house at, they got guards there at night and don't let anybody inside the neighborhood. That also is affiliated with the homeowner association. Black people can do the exact same thing in their community if they want to. Also, in these neighborhoods with the police, they get together, and I don't know if your homeowner association does this. They can sign a contract with the sheriff's department or the local police to patrol these neighborhoods. Okay, well, so you know all this stuff. Okay, you know that.
I know all of that.
Okay.
But what I'm saying, current system, as far as I'm concerned, there's only been one system, and that system is still in effect today. You see, when you started out your show, you said that that you understand and you realize and you understand that there's a system of oppression, there's a system of institutional racism.
When I say system, I wasn't even talking about racism. The thing is, we're not even in a position to fight racism like we should, but due to what we got going on by choice. I mean, it gets to a point you got to start blaming and start saying, you know, listen, if the majority of the people allow thugs to stay on the corner, that's a problem.
Okay.
Because it's a few of them, and they can terrorize many. That's part of what I mean. The old black community needs to die. That mindset to allow thugs, criminals, to stay on the corner all day, and then get mad if somebody say they don't belong there. Well, to get mad if somebody say, you know what, I really don't feel bad if something happened to one of them because they're up there killing kids.
Right, but see, this is what I'm trying to say. Because as I sit here and I listen to you and I listen to you guys, it sounds like, you know, that the condition that the black people in today are of their own making and their own doing. And a lot of it is. Don't get me wrong, and a lot of it is. But what I'm saying, where we are today is due to a system that we're in. And the system's always been in effect ever since the end of slavery, ever since. What we have now is those black holes and everything. The only thing that changed was the name. It's now called institutional racism. That's exactly what it's called. I'm sorry. I heard you say a lot of things. You said black people with males and females have the highest education rate amongst everybody in America. You know, you saying black people with degrees are still highest of the unemployed. And you are correct. You are correct. That's the institutional system of racism that I'm talking about.
Can I jump in, please?
That's the reason why I say we need to kind of, you know, evaluate why we have thugs and stuff in the street now. You see what I'm saying? You know, don't nobody want to grow up and be a gang banger. Don't nobody want to grow up and be a murderer, a robber. You got these people who living in these ghettos. They don't have no way out. You know what's missing? Jobs are what's missing. Employment is what's missing. And when you see all these gangs and these thugs and stuff, they're not where you live at. They're not where I live at. They're in the ghetto. You see what I'm saying?
Well, may I jump in, please?
And white people, a lot of people, and we tend to take ourselves and that small segment. It's like the young man called in earlier. He said they take that segment of that very bad population, and they take that small part and paint the whole race as being that. You see what I'm saying?
May I jump in? Can I say something?
I'm not just going to say one more thing.
Hold on, brother, slow down. Rochelle says she want to interject for a minute. And Rochelle, go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, caller. And I agree with you. I'm very well, thank you. I agree with you. A lot of things in the black community are of our own doing, but as you said, a lot of things are not. Advice has said earlier about starter jackets. Starter jackets are made in New Haven, Connecticut. I know that because I'm originally from there. And that factory is gone, like many, and I sit in Philadelphia now, but it doesn't matter if it's Philadelphia, South Carolina, North Carolina, the Eastern Corridor. We used to make textiles from the South, bring them on the rails, and the North would make the clothes. We used to make Winchester guns. When you take to an extent, some of the problems in the black community are just American problems. when you take 100,000 jobs out of Detroit, and Detroit is an important city because Detroit is the financial indicator of this country, and it always has been. When you take 1 million jobs out of Detroit and replace it with nothing, you're going to the people that are still there in Detroit, much like Philadelphia, was a largely migrated black city. So it's like you said. It's like you said. Some things aren't, it's like I said, some things aren't black problems, they're American problems. However, we're at a point right now that especially in their 50s, people in their 50s and in their early 60s in the black community, I hold more angst toward than younger. Because, like you said, you got to go back. In 1985, if you're a kid of the 80s on the East Coast, you can attest to this. If you're from the West Coast, it was a little earlier. If you're from down south, it was a little later, around 88. Crack cocaine helped bring the worst out of our people, and we're still on that same noose. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't feel that the black community's dead. I don't feel that way. Because if I felt that way, if you want – wait, let me finish. If I felt that way, I'd take it a step further and say America's effing dead, if that's the way I felt about it. However, I do feel like blacks need to get on the same page, and learn the things our grandparents, because my grandparents are old. When I hear these bad bitches, excuse my language, talk about their grandmothers at 33 years old and don't see a problem with that, I get upset, because elders are supposed to pass down traditions, and a lot of people that are in their 50s now, they dropped that ball in the 80s, and they can admit it, they don't have to, it was white people, it was this and that and this other, whatever, but blacks that were young in the 80s helped drop the ball. They helped demolish a lot of these cities, and it's up to the people of the latter 70s, 80s, 90s, and the new millennium to clean up a lot of this mess. No, I don't think we should get rid of them, but I think they need, like a lot of black kids haven't had in decades now, they need that father figure there to give them an ass whipping, be them male, be them female. And another thing, blacks got to start being honest with themselves and start listening to the other sex. Because I listen to my men, as I call black men, my men, because my father was black, my grandfathers were black, and all my cousins who I love dearly are black men. When they say they don't want that weave in your hair, listen to them, black woman. And for you men out here, when you got one baby by one woman, try making her a wife. Try that, because it worked for our grandfathers, and they were more wealthy than young blacks will ever dream of being. Hell, the drug dealers of the 80s were richer, monetarily anyway, than these young kids could ever dream. And, sir, you sound like an older black man, so I'm sure you could attest to the drug dealers of the 80s are not what you see today, because drug dealing ain't nothing but a low-wage paying job for a lot of these young people. But when you take away the factories in Philadelphia, which are monuments, as I call them, what are these people supposed to do? And then let's not forget, in the last few decades, parents have become so young. So too many black kids in the last few decades, I know when I was going into school, high school in the 90s, I know quite a few people that were 11th grade, and they're out here hustling to help their mother pay rent or whatever because their father's in prison from them crack days, or their father's dead or whatever have you. So we need to start letting our children be children again. We need to take a lot of this social media, and I know everything with the Internet is not bad. I know this. But what is bad is letting the Internet, the younger people, getting confused like the Internet is the end-all, because the same thing you can find on the Internet, you can find in a book. There are people who write things, books about every subject that's available on the Internet. It's not making us smarter. It's making us dumber. And it's also video logging the debauchery that is going on in the community. But it doesn't help when blacks – for the last 3 years, I've been on YouTube and Advice and a few other subscriptions I have. I've watched everyone go back and forth, argue back and forth. Now, these are supposed to be our people that want to change things, but we can't even get together on the same page when it comes to changing things. Ludicrous to me. Absolutely ludicrous.
And that's my only point. And that's the only thing that if nothing else I say get through to you, I want that point that you just said. We all have to get on the same page. But to me, I firmly believe you're not going anywhere if you don't know where you came from.
I agree.
And that's why I firmly believe that. You know, so all I'm asking you guys to do is just to acknowledge how this system got started. You know, and why we're in the mindset today, because you have these thugs and these people out here, they've been in this system. That's all they know. They grew up in this. To them, this is right. You know, some of them actually think that they're supposed to be in the ghetto. You know,
well, you know what, I didn't grow up, well, let me tell you something about myself. I'm not one of these guys that grew up, you know what I'm saying, in some suburb somewhere. Never did. I grew up straight up in the hood, drug dealers, gang members. I remember crack. I remember everything, okay? And like I said, I had the same opportunities as those guys to get involved with drugs, gangs, everything.
But sir, you're what, 35, 34, maybe somewhere in that age?
Yeah, I'm 35.
Right. You see, if you count back, you know, you're right around that time where the crack epidemic or in those early 80s, late 70s, when all this stuff really started to kick off. So what you see now, the people that you're talking about, they're pretty much your generation. A lot of them had older parents, as I did. You know, I have older brothers and sisters. I had friends whose parents could have been my sister, my oldest or my older brother. You see, and those were those people who kind of fell off the wagon during that period. But the only thing I'm saying is that, I didn't grow up in to be where I'm at now. I grew up in the ghetto, and being in the ghetto was my inspiration to achieve.
Let's never forget, not to cut you off, sir. Wait. Let's never forget. Before these drug epidemics, especially the one through the 80s, the black, quote-unquote, ghetto was a different place. People forget the show Good Times and the depiction and wanting to get out. Blacks were a whole different people. And if you were born in 78 or 80, as I was and that Vice was, this is why I'm not sold on a lot of 30-somethings, because listen here, you remember, because I remember, what the neighborhood, fuck the hood, excuse my language, but I'm sick of the hood. Because when I was a little girl back in 85 in New England, we had black neighborhoods, and I missed them, a functioning black neighborhood that the powers that be said, look, we're going to change all this. Well, that's another discussion. And the thing is, that's why I'm not sold on a lot of things with my peers and whatnot. I'm not sold on solely the media or blaming my parents or whatever, because I keep in mind my mom's been gone for a while and my father got lost in the sauce. Once upon a time, you guys were young too. A lot of your peers didn't know this shit was going to be with them for a lifetime. They didn't know that this was going to take them away from their families. They didn't know because it was orchestrated for that purpose. Now the time we're in now, it's like I'll tell any older, especially in their 50s, that baby boomer group, you guys need to handle the despicable ones that we, and I'm big on respecting my elders, 70 and up, they get the utmost respect. But that baby boomer generation, listen here, a lot of the problems in the black community comes from the 50-something-year-olds, just like the 20-something-year-olds. And I'll tell you this, you can't be 55 and trying to relive your 20s and putting down these young girls or these young guys, and I see them all the time. You young people don't know this. You don't know that. We may not, because we didn't have the factories and shit y'all did. And you can't have it both ways, 50-something. Either it was so great or it was so hard, but you can't have it both ways. Like I said, the 50-something-year-olds, early 60s, they need to be handled by the so-called elders in our community. Not by a, because 30, if you're 30 talking to a 55 or 60-year-old, in essence, you're still a kid to them. So they're not going to take what you say seriously. And I see them all the time. When they're around their peers, if they're 55 or around that age, they don't give their peers a hard time because your peers know you. But when they talk about these, quote, young people, they go all out. They go all out, and it's not fair because it's not just the young people who did this. Actually, the older people are more responsible than the younger people.
And I made that point in a video recently that the older generation did drop the ball because they did not leave any legacy for the younger generation. They didn't leave them, you know, with proper income, businesses, nothing for them. Yes, I rarely acknowledge that the older generation dropped the ball. Yes.
Well, can I say
but even though they dropped the ball,
something?
It doesn't really give – I don't want to give that as an excuse to say, okay, well, since they dropped the ball and they kind of messed up, you know, on a lot of things, it's okay for us just to abandon consciousness, abandon, you know, to do what's right and just run crazy and wild just because, you know, they didn't set us up right. I mean, we can create our own stuff. But we don't need nothing
from
nobody
else. Well, advice, not to cut you off, but we have to start there. Because a lot of the videos and whatnot you post and others post, these are people our age. These are the people that grew up with the crackhead parents. These are the people, the young women that everyone gets on about twerking and all this. It's like I'll tell a lot of these old functioning crackhead Jesus thumpers or recovered. Let me tell you something. If you were out in the streets or you were tricking in front of your kids and whatnot when they were in their formative years, you're getting everything you deserve, and how dare you turn around and say it's just their fault. And I see people our age doing it to their kids now, because one thing that epidemic did pass down is the not caring, absolute not caring. And here's the thing, like I said, no, we can't just move past it because these people are still a part of this community. These 55-year-olds that have been strung out for 30 years almost, they ain't went nowhere. They're wrecking havoc too. I've sat back and watched people many times in their late 40s, early 50s, mid 50s, on and on, sit back and tell these young people the wrong shit, because in my heart, I just feel like they're jealous that this generation is strung out on a lot of things, but crack ain't one of them. And they gave up their best years of their lives for a lie, like a lot of the people in our generation are giving up their best years for a lie. That rap music, it's a lie. It's like Corinne Superhead Stephan said, it isn't real. There's no realer than that crack money was, because a lot of those guys that had the million-dollar homes and all that stuff, they're broke. They're broke.
Yeah.
Living
on
what they used to be.
Okay, and with that point, brother that called in, I appreciate you calling, but I got to move on to other calls. Other people want to get on.
All right, later.
Ms. Gabriella, want to add anything, Ms. Gabriella?
Let's go to the next callers. I want to see what they have to say first before I chime in.
All right. Erico 404, you're on the show.
Oh, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm fine. I called in before, and I told you I was in a, you know, Ms. Gabriella, I was in a generation of the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and now. So I'm 47. Now, what she's saying, I called in about something else, but what she's saying about the 80s is not incorrect, but it's incomplete. Now, a lot of people got, this is when crack came, I remember when crack came because my boyfriend was in the game, and I remember saying, what is this? But this is what happened with crack. You either smoked it or you came up. And a lot of people came up. That's why you don't see young crack heads anymore. They're all older. They're all in their 40s. That you either did it, but it did, or you didn't. But then after it got into the white community, they started educating people on it. And then the black community stopped doing it, and now it's Molly, or whatever. It's always going to be something, or whatever it is. And Molly is just like crack to me. If you look at the crack on Molly, their face is sucking in, and it looks just like crack to me. But this is why I call. Go ahead. This is why I called. It's a woman named Michelle Alexander. I don't know if you've heard of her. And she wrote, she's a black professor out at Yale. And she has a lecture actually on YouTube. And she did a lecture on the new Jim Crow. Now, this is her theory, and I wanted to ask you, Phyllis, what did you think about it? This is her theory. When they started arresting the brothers left and right, and they're still doing it, we're thinking they're just harassing them, trying to get them locked up or whatever. This is what she's saying. She's saying it's actually more black brothers in prison than it was in slavery.
That's
she's
true.
Saying that they lock them up so they can have a record. Now when they get out, they can't get a job. They can't find anywhere to stay because all these questions are on there now. They replace what your race with your record. That's what she's saying. She's saying it's set up like so. What the brother was saying before, we can't even get ahead because they're arresting the brother for a bag of weed or whatever, something minor, but it messes them up for a long time.
because of that
yeah,
record.
Yeah, you don't,
and what
all
they
the
have
way you
out.
Get out
so
of
listen,
something.
So if they can't, get a job, and they probably have kids, what are they gonna do?
Well, okay, let me answer that. I'm gonna answer that question. I know a brother right now a few brothers that did some stints in prison, changed their life. Now they make $100,000 a year. Both of these brothers, they own trucks. You can get a CDL and drive trucks with a criminal record, and these black men have their own companies that went to prison. Nobody else would hire them. They let them get a CDL license to drive a truck. I'm just giving one example. So if I know black men who did stints in prison for drugs, couldn't get a regular job, but yet they're making six figures and they send their kids to private school and stuff like that, and they got married and changed their life, then other black men could do it as well.
See, that goes back
Go ahead, Ms. Gabriella.
Go ahead, Gabriella. I'm sorry.
Hold on. One at a time. Go ahead, Ms. Gabriella.
That just goes back to us understanding that just because you have a criminal record is not an excuse for you to just throw your hands up and say, I give up. Because I've seen too many people do that. They say, oh, well, I've been in jail, so that means I give up, and I'm not going to try to do anything else positive with my life. Because I've seen people turn their criminal records into something positive. Okay, so you were selling drugs and you were good at it. Do you know how many people could take those markets?
Ma'am, you got to let it finish one at a time so everybody can hear it.
Have you seen, there's so many people that have, I mean, if you are really good at what you do as a drug dealer, you can take that knowledge of marketing and knowing how to get your product out there, why don't you turn that into a business? Why don't you turn that into something positive instead of saying, oh, well, I've been to jail, so that means I just need to just sit there and be living a life of petty crime because that's all I can do. I'm tired of hearing people make excuses and say, oh, well, I can't get a job, so that means I don't need to try because that happens too much. So I've seen too many people say, oh, well, you know, I have a felony, so there's nothing I can do. I don't know what to do. You can always find something to do, and it doesn't have to be illegal. And I'm tired of people saying that. So that
have
was just
my point. Have you seen guys that really try 15, 20 times, and you see the look on their face where they're just about to give up? Because it is true. You have
Can I jump in, please? Too bad. Too bad, because let me finish, please, ma'am. Here's the thing, too bad, because there are young black men and women, for that matter, that and I'm first to say, everything economically, politically, and all that stuff is slighted. With that being said, that's not what we're living in 2014. Again, a lot of these young people that have been raised mostly by single mothers who are strong and they're both the mother and the father, a lot of these young people, they like doing what they're doing out here because it gives them a sense of, quote, status. And furthermore, it's hard for people that did the right thing these days, that went to school, didn't get in any trouble. What about the young blacks that didn't get in any trouble? The young black men out here, the few that and far between, that didn't get in any trouble, and they can't get jobs because they haven't gotten in trouble and they're not the status quo. What about the young black girl who never got pregnant, never got none of this stuff, don't get caught up in the hype, and she can't get a job and she has a college degree? I will not feel sorry for most of these people that are so-called felons because here's the thing. A lot of these young men, they don't want to take a job until after they have the felony. They don't feel like they should have to work hard because a lot of their mothers, a lot of these single mothers in the last 30 years, they have pacified these young men. They have let them think they're right. They've raised them to believe the rest of the world and rest of society is going to kiss your behind, and that's not how it works. They don't know how to handle themselves emotionally, professionally. They don't know how to do anything much to make it out in the society, and they've been bamboozled because their mothers primarily didn't prepare them. So if you have a felony, especially now, again, either the internet and all this stuff is so great or not, because you can't have it both ways. We're in the information age, and if that, let's say the best case scenario, that is the game, don't y'all get sick of playing it? No, I don't care about your felonies. No more than I care about these black schools getting shut down, because the parents of these young men, they don't care. And a lot of the time it's not parent, it's the mother of these young men, the mama or whatever she calls herself these days. Because a real mother,
understands the importance of that husband being there, so their son won't be on the MS and corner getting felonies and helping her pay the light bill. So, no, mm-hmm. I don't care.
What
I really don't
after?
Care.
What about after?
What about after? If you can't
I'm
do the crime.
I'm trying to tell you if you stop cutting me off. What about after the brother gets locked up? Okay, we can do the woulda, coulda, shoulda, but it's a lot of brothers that have been locked up. We can't provide jobs. We can't. Why is the only option to they have to open their own business? Why can't we?
Well, you know why?
What else are they going to do, though?
Let me interject in that. Why they have to open up their own business? Because the way this you just described, the system blocks them out automatically from getting a job when they see that record unless they pay the money to expunge certain charges
right.
that they can expunge. If they can't expunge it, then they're going to have to create their own businesses like those other black men that I told you at the beginning that turned their life around after prison. They got their CDL license, started driving trucks, bought their own truck, their own operator, they're making over $100,000 a year. Now, you can turn yourself around, but the road is much harder when you kind of handicap yourself due to choices making getting out on that doggone street corner. So Rochelle is saying, look, I really don't feel sorry for them because they chose that. Nobody forced them to sell drugs. Nobody forced them to thug. Nobody forced this chick to get involved with a thug and possibly get a record. That happens to a lot of women. Women get caught up with them thugs and everything else. So it does happen. Everybody makes a personal choice. So let's not make choices to be in that situation. Let's make choices to do the right thing. That's mostly my position on it.
Well, I never hear these felons.
So sad, and they really do try, and they really are trying. And then if you see it 4 or 5 months, it's like,
well, you know what? Hold on. Well, let me tell you something. What's your name?
You can call me Rio. You mean my avatar?
No. What's your name?
Rio.
Okay, Leo. Well, Leo. Okay, how you doing?
Rio with an R.
What? Rio?
Rio with an R.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, fine. Anyway.
I thought I could do.
Well, let me tell you. Hold on. Let me tell you something. Just because you go in 5-6 months does not mean that you give up. Sometimes you may have to search for a year. It's been times that I didn't have a job. And I was putting in resumes 4 or 5 a day trying to get a job. And what, you know,
Philip,
what
if you're doing this and you're talking to this guy and you're telling him this 5 or 6 months, he has to eat. What do you do?
Can I jump in one more time, please? Because here's the thing. As a 33, almost 34-year-old woman, can I please? Now you're cutting me off and you cut advice off. Can I finish, please? Because these are the same brothers. When they're getting that short money from that selling drugs, because a lot of our brothers won't even understand there's other aspects of crime you can go into besides drug dealing. I don't never see them crying no tears when they're living it up on the weekend, getting their car rentals, they got the bad bitches and all of that stuff. I don't never hear them shedding no tears till after they go to jail. And they know they're going to go to jail. Are you kidding me? They know. It's like I tell these young brothers. But again, they're going to beat the game, to beat the odds. The game doesn't change, just the players. And no, I don't feel sorry for these people. I'm the daughter of a law enforcement person. So here's, no, I don't, and I'm not too bad. Like if I said, if you handicap yourself, it's a different story if you have some of these outlandish, like in Texas, they had a town that they called, I forgot the guy's name, to bring lawyers down because they were arresting young black boys that were like 10 and 11, 12 years old and putting them away in detention centers and whatnot, unconstitutionally and whatnot. That's a problem. And then for the brothers that are really innocent out there that are sitting in jail, that's a problem. But most of the people in jail, they deserve to be there. Absolutely deserve to be there. Why is it okay for them to make short money? And these are the type of brothers that are so vain and disgusting, they'll shove it in your face as a woman or another man. But then when they get arrested and got to do some time, someone's supposed to care or feel sorry for you. I don't. Absolutely not. Like I said, there's brothers out here that ain't got no records and went and did the right thing and had to walk that road getting called white, had to walk that road on the other side with being in some cases the only black or few blacks in a classroom. I'm supposed to feel sorry for little Pookie down the street who when he was selling that shit to the neighborhood, he was balling. He was a hood star. But then when he goes to jail and can't get a job after the fact, someone's supposed to care? If anyone should care, his mother should care. You're the one who raised them like this. You get them a job, or you let them lay up in your shit for the rest of his life, because that's what most of them are going to do anyway. Because remember, black women, we're strong, and we can be the mother and the father. We can be the mother and the father. And if a lot of these young men have fathers in their lives, they'd be like advice said. They know how to build from nothing and start their own business and handle their business, because us women can't teach young men how to be men. We cannot do it. It'll never happen. So, brother, if you mess up your record, you better start your own business or do something. Do something, because they don't have to hire you.
All right, hold on. Ms. Gabriella, go ahead.
I mean, I agree with her 100%, because you chose that life. You know that when you put, nobody is forcing you to start cooking drugs in your house. No one told you to stand on the street corner. I know times are hard. Times are hard for everybody, okay? You can't sit there and say, oh, well, there's nothing else for me to do. Well, find something to do. Because I know plenty of immigrants who came here with nothing but a plastic bag, no lie, plastic grocery bag, with two pieces of clothing and a toothbrush, and they made a way. So I don't want to hear...
I'm glad you brought that up, Ms. Gabriella. I'm so glad you brought that up.
I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear nothing. Oh, I can't figure something out. Well, find something out. How many immigrants do you see busting, I don't want to curse, but busting their ass, standing out there? Any young man, see, that's the thing. Any young man can go to Home Depot at 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, stand outside there with the Latino and with the African immigrants, and say, I will move furniture for $50 to $100. You can find something to do. Sell oranges, sell newspapers. I don't know. Find something to do. You don't have to sell drugs. Yeah, you might not be a baller, and you might not have all these little hood rat and chicken heads chasing after you, but you can make a way somehow, some way.
Yeah, but let me piggyback that, what you said about the immigrants. It's sad that you got people crossing the border illegally every single day, and yet they get jobs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we got American citizens in our neighborhoods saying, I can't get a job, so I got to deal drugs. Like, it's no excuse. Because like I said, I went out there with the Mexicans myself one time when I didn't have a job and worked day labor with them. So, because I need a job. I said, man, I can't sit around here without no job. I'm going to go out there with the Mexicans. So I can see I make some money, too. Sure, I'm not above nothing.
Absolutely.
I
got
to make
That's
money, I'm
going
to make it. I'm not going to sit up here and what good am I to my family in jail? What good am I? Nothing.
That's right. Absolutely.
So it's no excuse.
And
you
a lot
of
advice.
Whatever.
But you're a man. And see, a lot of the gentlemen this woman's talking about, to me, they're not men, because if it doesn't matter if they're on the outside or on the inside, they ain't thinking about their kids anyway. Now, they'll put on more of a front when they're in jail. Then all of a sudden, they love a particular girl or they miss their kids and all this other BS. But when they're getting that short money, I'll never hear them talk about their kids. I'll never hear them talk about their kids. Same thing goes for the women. Only time it seems like their kids become an issue is when they're all messed up or when the kids ain't bringing in enough money or some lame stuff like that. See, you're a man. I may not agree with – we may not agree with everything said between us, but I can tell you're a man, and I know that because you're married and your children have stability. And I know that your son's not going to be in the streets of Houston 10 years from now. But like I said earlier
– I'm gonna tell you this much.
I wouldn't mess with you, but
let me tell you about my boy the other day. I told him, like, I picked him up and everything. We went to a family reunion the other day. He had a good time at the family reunion. And see, that's another thing. Our kids don't even go have no family structure. That's the problem, but that's a different story. You know, I told my son, let me see your pants. You know, and his pants wasn't where he's supposed to be. I said, boy, I say, he don't purposely do this, no, by sagging. No, he knows how I feel about that. I've told him that any guy that sags his pants, that's a closeted homosexual. He knows that already at his age. And he don't want to be nothing of that. So, you know, but I check and make sure. I say, hey, if you want to piss me off, step in my house with your underwear showing. You're going to piss me off because I don't have that activity going on. No. I say, that's that old crap that came from prison. And stupid black men in our community has accepted that crap from some men that was offering their behind other men in jail. And now that's a style. And then if I sit there and say something about it on some dog on YouTube, they pissed off. I say, wait a minute, you pissed off because you want to show your butt to another man and you worry about the women saying, you know, you suspect? It's a lot of, you talking about thugs, there's a lot of homo thugs running around here. A lot of them. I talked to a brother the other day. He works in jail.
On that.
Let me finish that. The brother say, talk to a brother that work in the jail. He say, you got some old tall, burly dudes all curled up with a man in jail. I say, what? He said, yeah, I'm telling you. He said, you would not think they're that way. He said, they get out of jail, they do something to come right back. He said, you back? He said, you must have got a man in here. He laugh about it. I mean, we have a lot of problems going on. And, you know, it's true. When the father was not around, this where all this mess came in at. Think about it. When the black fathers was there, we didn't have young men walking around with their pants hanging off their behind. We didn't have that. So when I made that video the other day about that little boy dressing like that, not because he dressed himself, but because they dressed him, I say they're grooming him to be a thug. And, oh, boy, they were pissed off at me because I said that. I don't care.
I think it depends on what part of the hood you come from when you use the word thug. Because when I think of thug, I think of something totally different than the way a person.
Okay, well, okay. What's your definition of thug so we can know?
Let me give you a story.
What's your definition?
I make a long story short. A dude like the dude with the teardrop on his eye, or a dude that robbed a bank, or. These are real thugs that just don't care. And they will not wear purple and light and green pants. They real thugs. They carry shotguns. Thugs, they raw.
Is that a good
that's
thing?
My, that's my definition
like
of a thug. Yeah, they raw, sad, you know.
Well, I don't call them thugs. I call them assholes.
No, excuse my language.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
They're jerks. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, they all that, but, you know, it's still, you know.
No, but I want to ask you a question.
I'm scared of them, yeah.
Have you ever dated a thug?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
That's part
got
of the
quiet.
Story.
Huh?
I didn't know. That's part of the story. I didn't know.
So when you went on a date with him,
you didn't ask him.
Hold on. When you went on a date with him, you asked him, what do you do for a living? He tell you he's
No. Okay, like he was saying, this was in the 80s and stuff like this, so this was like the 90s. He looked like Tupac to me. I thought he was cute. I was from the hood, but I'm one of the type of women that came up. Okay, he had a teardrop on his eye. I didn't think it was real. I think he just got it for show. Okay.
You know what a teardrop means?
Yeah. But I just thought it was show because I just was so, he murdered nobody. He, you know, I never seen him do anything. But this is when my definition of a thug came about. Okay, so it was a whole bunch of people at this hotel. If I say in Tamiami, that's down in Miami, but I don't live there anymore. And we went there, and then they was like, okay, I'll be back. And so I was in the room with a girl named Nikki and two other girls. Okay, long story short. About an hour later, the boys came back running and huffing and puffing. Nikki was like, turn on the news. We see the live helicopter and stuff. The helicopter is now over the hotel. They robbed the bank. That's when I knew that that's what I called. Now I'm scared. I'm in this situation.
I'm sorry. I got to jump in.
Now that was a thug to me.
Wait a minute. You said you're from Miami?
No, I'm from Detroit.
Detroit, that's even better. I was talking about Detroit. No.
Yeah,
no.
When you in that situation and you're in your 20s, you don't believe you would a bank rob. You don't even, if you nobody tells you you would a bank robber, you don't know.
I would know, and I'm 20. I don't know.
I was about to say,
If I met a chick.
Wait a minute. If you're 47, you're 13 years older than me. So here's the thing. I remember the 90s, too, and I remember women who were about that age older, and the ones around my age, you knew. Because like you said, he liked Tupac and all that. And Tupac, I won't even get on that because his message has been perverted, to say the least. And Miami and Detroit are known for getting that money no matter how much they got to do. If you're from Detroit, I'm sure you're familiar with Young Boys, Inc. They're one of the first drug groups to start incorporating selling drugs. So, therefore, I find it hard that you didn't know that. I find it very hard because, like Gabriella was about to say, even when I was 20 in 2000, if I dealt with someone that was doing something shady, I knew. I knew because you know as a woman more times than not.
You can know it's shade, but you do not know you would bank a dude that would actually rob banks. I did
okay.
not know. You can say I
okay,
knew
all right.
Oh,
all right,
okay.
Let me ask you a question, though.
No,
but
no problem.
Look,
but...
Hold on, Rochelle. Hold on, I got to ask you a question. Okay, you met the guy. You said he had a teardrop, and you say you yeah. thought it was fake. Would you? Yeah. Why would you be with a guy that has a fake teardrop when you know the meaning of that? That means he was perpetrating a fraud to you at the beginning in your mindset, right?
Yeah.
So it's okay to
yeah.
be with a fake guy who's a liar?
At that age, in that time, he was cute, and he had that, like, the drug.
Oh, so when he cute, just throw out everything.
What
he
year
cute,
was this? What year was this? Because you're saying you were young. You couldn't have been that young because in 9-8, I was 18. That was young. If you 13 years older than me, you was pushing 30 then. Come on, black women, let's start being real. Because if you're 13 years older than me, then no. Something wrong with that, Holmes.
You think everybody's a liar because they don't see stuff the way you see it. If you let them talk and try to put...
No, I'm listening to what you said.
Okay.
I'm listening
to what you said. Hold on, Rochelle, hold on. Ma'am, how old were you when you dated the guy? How old were you?
I'm in my 20s. I'm 47. The 20s and 30s, that's young to me. I'm thinking somewhere in my 20s because I was still in
okay,
college.
So what year you think that was in?
I had an 8-9 car, maybe 90.
Nah. It can't be because Tupac didn't even have the tats and shit until about 96. Like I said, black women, let's start being real with stuff. He didn't even get tatted till later on. In 90, he was still doing the Humpty dance. Straight up.
This is what you're doing. You're trying to make it sound like I'm a liar. I'm telling you what happened. I'm not telling you the year.
And I'm telling you I don't believe you. It's just that simple. What are you getting upset about? Only thing I'm saying is your story don't add up, Holmes.
He was black as far. He just
from
the inner city.
All right.
But he was black. Black people don't say city bus. Black people just say bus. You know, you can
no, that guy, I know why I said what I said about him. We ain't talking about him. I'm talking about you. Like I said, there's no way, because in 90, Tupac didn't have those tattoos yet. He didn't get thug license until 96. It doesn't make sense.
You're trying to be intelligent and smart, but you're wrong.
I can't hear you. I can't hear
yeah,
you.
You got to speak up.
I can't hear you.
Oh, okay. Hold on, Rochelle. Just give me a second. Okay.
Okay.
You say she's wrong. Okay. Let's just recap. You say she's wrong.
No, I said it doesn't make sense. Advice. Her
no,
story
no, no,
doesn't
no, no,
make
no,
sense.
No, no,
it doesn't.
No. Okay, I got you. I'm trying to clear stuff up with her.
What part?
So, you say you dated the
what
guy.
What part doesn't make sense?
Well, she explained what she felt that doesn't make sense. She said your timing is off. That's basically what she's getting at. You're not making
very
sense.
Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
very
okay,
much so
you met the guy. Well, but I'm going back to what I
was saying. I'm just saying from experience. I mean, hey, we all make our mistakes. I'm not going to act like I've never made a mistake and dated a guy that was not the best person. But there are specific questions that a woman should ask. And this is just for everybody. It's not no insult to you. But it's just there's certain specific questions that I ask somebody right out the gate. As soon as I meet a person, I get their phone number, and I call their number blocked so I can figure out what kind of person this is, and I ask specific questions. What do you do for a living? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? Things like that. Because you eliminate a lot of people that you wouldn't know are in that lifestyle. Because a lot of black women, they're so caught up in the physical that they don't even pay attention to, what is this man really doing? Because if there's so many black men out there, I've had black men try to date me before, and I would ask them, you know, what do you do? A lot of them would be like, oh, you know, I do this and that, or, you know, I'm in sales, but he always has money, but he's not
employed.
He could
have said that in my 20s. He could have said he sold drugs in my 20s. I wouldn't have cared. I still would have dated him. He could have said that.
Well, you're proving my point. You're proving my point. And like I said, again, it's not that I said you're lying particularly. I'm saying your story doesn't make sense. Because, again, if I was – I'll tell you again. You said at the end of the 90s you were dating this guy. At the end of the 90s, I came of age – excuse me?
I can't really remember. I'm trying to remember.
I'm good at math. Wait, hold on. You don't have to remember the particular year, because if you're 47, I'll be 34 this August. And you said something very profound, that you, now that you're close to 50, you look at 30 as pretty young. But when you're in your late 20s, you don't look at 30 as young. And what I'm saying to you is, if I turn 18 in 98, and you're 13 years older than me, you do the math. You were like 31, 32 then. You so as far as that
okay,
young
no,
stuff,
so
that cancels
maybe go
out.
About two or, maybe go about 3 or 4 years back. Because in my 30s, I was married. So go a few years back.
Okay. I'll give you 28. I'll give you 28.
Yeah. That's
still young enough to old enough to know. Because like Gabriella
at
said.
At 28, you trying to think I'm you. At 28, I would have messed with a dope dealer.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to think I'm you. What?
You trying to think I'm you. You trying to think I had your mindset. At 28,
what's my mindset?
I'm about to tell you. At 28, I would have messed with a dope dealer. I would have. I wouldn't have said, oh, you still dope on me. At that age, I wouldn't have stopped messing with him. Me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think you're me, and I don't think I'm you. I just don't think your story makes sense.
That would have turned me away.
And like Gabriella was saying.
I wouldn't have believed them.
Like Gabriella was saying, we've all made mistakes and whatnot, but I'm just hard pressed to believe whether you're 25, 28, 31, you know. And like you said, you would have dated them anyway.
I'm not even going to say me dating those type of thugs back in the day was a mistake, because I learned a lot. I'm not even going to say it was a mistake.
Okay.
Now, if I tell my daughter walks in here with a guy with a tattoo,
Hold on. Reason why I asked you originally that question, have you ever dated a thug? Because now I get why you're going so hard in the paint for him. Because you know you were dating them, you sympathize with them, and it helps me to understand where you're coming from today in the line of questioning you had about them. That's the reason why I asked. Now, where Rochelle's going with you and her, but I'm just getting the history of you. That way I know kind of where you're coming from and why your mindset.
Well, we can go with today's history. I can see 30 or 40 of them a day with my job. You know, we can go with today's history. My daughter has a friend that has a baby daddy. He can't even, he was asking me about
baby daddy
and
not a father. And that's the problem in this community, too.
No, but it didn't have anything to do with him being a father. He was asking me about a money order. I was telling him, like, to take the money order back to Publix, la, 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 la. He got quiet. I had to ask him, you don't know how to talk to the people? He said, man, I don't talk to nobody. So he didn't even know how to talk to this lady. What do you do with that?
Leave it where
you make babies, for one thing. You don't make babies. That's one thing you don't do. If your stuff isn't together, shouldn't you get your stuff together before you start procreating? There's a problem in the black community, and I agree with you there.
What about if you had a job, Rochelle, and these people were coming to you after the fact? You can't keep telling them you shouldn't have, would have, could. Say you had a job and you were to help these brothers, and so they coming to you after the fact. You can't keep telling them you shouldn't have, couldn't have, would have. What about now?
I'm talking about the money order situation. What I'm saying, you asked, well, what are you supposed to do? And I said, well, not procreate for one. Because here's the thing. I've met quite a few young men myself. Can I please finish? I'm not sassing you because I don't know you to sass you. I'm giving you my opinion. And my thing is with young blacks especially, you can barely read and write at 18, but you already got a child or two by 18. That's not good. Because if you can't read and write and handle your business, how are you going to teach another life to? And then we wonder why we have so much chaos with these so-called baby mama, baby daddies, because I don't believe in that nonsense. I believe in a mother and a father, like our community before the hood. I wasn't brought up in a hood. Like I told Advice, I remember the black community, the black neighborhood, and my work in the future is going to be to help get some of that back. It'll never be the way it was, but it could be better. And part of the problem is you can't read and write, but you're making babies.
You would tell them that after they, when they come to you for help?
It depends on the young person.
It's all good to have a sassy answer and a smart answer.
I'm not sassy and I'm not getting smart with you.
I'm not sassing you or getting smart with you.
You
said you wanted to help these people, but these people that come to you for help, what kind of answer are you going to get? You can't be like, well, you procreate. I know you can read. You can't.
Well, that's why I don't want to work for the system, because I think it's a sham. My definition of help is may not be your definition of help. And most state and federal agencies are nothing but systems. And behind the scenes, they're getting paid to keep black people in the situation they're in. And as far as the shoulda, woulda, coulda, as far as the shoulda, woulda, coulda, what about the young men that, and I've seen them too, before they get that felony, the old people are telling them not to do certain things. Their mothers sometimes are telling them not to do certain things, but by then they don't lost control because there ain't a man in sight. What about before the felony? What about then? I've seen these young men getting smart with teachers, because you want to talk about sassy, some of the young black men in the last 20 years particularly, due to their strong black baby mama, they got the sassiest mouth out of anybody. They more sassy than the girls. Are you kidding me? And as far as after the fact, listen, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime, as the old saying goes. But don't you dare feel anyone to feel sorry for you, especially in these days when good working people are laid off, can't get jobs. They are eligible for all the subsidies baby mama and baby daddies get. They're not eligible for none of that shit that they're paying into the system for. What about those people? What about them? What about them?
Okay, ladies, with that said, let me move on to the next caller. Thank you for calling. Thank you for sitting in the hot seat. All right. All right, let's see if we can go to the next call. Area code 502, you on the show.
Hello?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, brother? I just want to let you know that I appreciate everything that you do, man. I love all your channels, and I think that you're utilizing this technology very well.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And so do you mind if I'm very happy and glad that you brought you're trying to bring attention to this topic, because I have a personal connection with it. Do you mind if I share a story with y'all real quick?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so, you know, I was raised in the hood, in the Bronx. As I was born in '88, so around mid '90s-ish, I was in that time period, and you know, my mom and I was living with my mom and dad. And they just fell in some hard times. Like they weren't necessarily like drug dealers or anything like that. They just weren't able to make it. So we had to move into that neighborhood. And my brother actually ended up, you know, he ended up getting involved in a gang. And one night he was shot and killed in a drive-by. And you know, yes. And then actually a few months after that, my father was walking on his way home from the gas station, and he was stabbed to death by a group of thugs. And you know, once I knew that I didn't want to follow in my brother's footsteps, first of all, because I didn't want to end up like him, you know. And I wanted to make my father proud, and I didn't want to become, you know, one of these thugs and one of these idiots just running the streets. And so what I did was I got back into schooling, and I started doing that. I graduated, became a valedictorian of my class, went to college, got my degree. Thank you very much, man. And I went to college, got my degree, and I now have a well-paying job. I'm living in my house with my fiance, and me and my mother are, you know, we're trying to actually make this we're making this organization where we're trying to help get some of these kids, you know, out of the streets and show them, kind of educate them on, you know, how they could be successful, and that they can turn their lives around. Like it's not impossible to get out of that kind of situation.
Yeah, if you want to turn your life around, you can. Like I stated,
right,
there's a lot of people out there that help you do it if that's what you want to do. But if you do not want to do it, then that's most of the issue that I have, is those who don't want to do it. And why should we waste our time with people who don't want to change? I'm all
true,
for people
exactly
turning their life around. I'm for it. That's a good, because that's a good thing for somebody to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. And, you know, I'm not happy or glad that, you know, my brother and father both had to pass, but I think that that happening is what, you know, what turned my life around and, you know, got me to realize that I can't be doing this stuff, you know, that my brother did.
Yeah, it's good that you, like I say, it's good that you, you know, use something to be, you know, out of the tragedy and made something positive. So, you know,
exactly.
You know, definitely that's pretty good. But, like I said, I appreciate you calling, man.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, this person been holding here for a little while. Erico 504, you on the show.
Yeah, your show is pretty interesting. I wanted to call in and say, for blacks, the United States system is not for them.
I can't hear a thing you saying. It sounds like you whispering to your female.
Can you hear me?
No, really can't. I heard you for a little bit. Speak up.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to call in and say that the United States system as a whole is not for blacks, never will be, never was. And the system was always set up to not be for blacks in the first place. You can see that now since the history of blacks, the system is not even working for whites. So it's definitely not going to work for majority of black people.
So that's just it. It's just not going to work for black. But first of all, when I said about us, about our community and doing a new thing, it has nothing to do with America. We have enough resources in our own community. We have enough smarts. We have enough capital to do what we need to do.
I agree with you, but you're going to be met with opposition of the United States government. The government has special units towards the black community. They always had it to do covert operations towards your community. So when you start something that's supposed to be just for blacks, the covert operation comes in and disrupts your operation, which it breaks down. So what the system has done, they have totally oppressed black people, even if they wanted to be independent from the United States. They have found ways to covert your communities, so you will not have any black liberation.
Well, I have to say, I thought this was supposed to be the home of the brave. But listen, and I agree with you. They do have these special units and whatnot. But those ain't our problems right now, because blacks have become so apathetic and entitled and other that's not even an issue for them anymore. And opposition, no, my grandmother had opposition when she was coming up. It had to go through the riots of whatever city, getting knocked over the head and whatnot just for wanting to go to school or drive or do things we take for granted. I feel like this, we're our own demise at this point in time. They don't need any of that stuff. We can't even get on the same page of what the problems are.
Well, blacks are at their own demises because of the government. The government has specifically done these things, these covert operations, to keep blacks in the condition that they are in today.
Can I ask you a question? So the bottom line is because of the government may infiltrate something, we should just do nothing and just do nothing, right?
No. It's absolutely good to do things and to try to progress of an issue. That's good. But to get to a state where blacks need to get to, the United States government and all the resources of the military, CIA, whatever they got, will do covert operations against whatever you try to do to break it down. And
so it goes right back.
So we're just saying
right
not try.
It goes right back to what you said. You said, this is your exact word. Well, I asked you, I said, so you're supposed to be new or nothing. You said, no. We need to do something to come together, but they're going to do this. So it goes back to what I said. So basically what you're feeling is saying is, because of the United States government, we shouldn't try nothing. We should just say, once again, be professional victims. Woe is us, poor black people. Have mercy on us, Mr. White Man. Is that what we need to start doing? Is that how you start doing videos like that? Have mercy on us, Mr. White Man?
No. You have a
Wait, that was basically what you're telling me I need to do. Because I can't do nothing. We can't do a thing. So I need to get on YouTube and start doing a bunch of, Mr. White Man, have mercy on us. It's poor black people, those former slaves.
Well, the thing is that what has happened now, they're using, and they have always done this, they have used black people against other blacks in the black community. So what is happening now, if own black people can't get on a direct line of one issue and work towards that issue, and you're always going to have either opposition for a few blacks that's going to turncoat, you are in.
Sir, I'm sorry. I got to interrupt you. See, and I'm not trying to offend you, but people like you in the black community is the problem. You're too scary. I ain't care about somebody turncoating. Judas turncoated on Jesus. It happens. I don't care about no U.S. government when I'm trying to have a good future for my doggone kids. You worrying about what could happen. A lot of stuff could happen. You could walk out the door tomorrow and get killed.
If you're talking about an individual aspect, that's fine. But if you're talking about 40 million blacks in the United States of America, and you're trying to formulate something directly for blacks, you're going to be met with the opposition of the government. It's without a doubt. If you look
we've been met with opposition of the government since we got here.
And
nothing new.
And what state are blacks in today? Because of that.
No, we are not in the state. Let me tell you something. We actually was in a better state with our family after slavery, even all the way up to the Civil Rights Movement. Our family was still intact. It has nothing to do with them. They actually didn't break our family down. It's a lot of factors that broke the family down, yes, but that's not one of them, if you want to get into it.
Our problem is allowing.
You want to talk about what broke down the black family? I'm going to tell you what broke down the black family. Number one, having our women accept feminism. Feminism, number one, it was the white woman's fight against her man, not ours. Okay? We have never oppressed black women, not one time. Number two, what broke down our family is welfare, saying a man can't be in the house, and they go into people's house, checking if that man's in the house. And instead of the people in our community say, man, we don't want that crap. We're going to work. We're going to do what we got to do like we always have done. When we came off the plantations, that we've accepted that. The men accepted it and the women accepted that. Number three, what broke our family structure down was the crack epidemic. It was like the nuclear bomb that hit our community. And it has decimated a lot of people. That's why today you got so many kids growing up that's former crack babies.
Well, everything you just mentioned has something to do with the government involvement. So what I'm saying to you is blacks, yes, I agree with blacks trying to get together and fight for one issue. But the United States has a direct team just for the black community to do covert operations, to break. They did it to the Black Panthers. They did it to Malcolm and Martin Luther King. They did it towards,
Tupac
Ball.
Shakur.
They did it to
Tupac Shakur, his mother.
Yes, we get they dirty. Like I said, they've been dirty ever since we got here. Start off from slavery and continue on. There's nothing really new. But you know what?
Yeah.
All those brothers was fighting for our rights. If all the brothers had that attitude like you're having right about now, we'd probably still be in the same situations from back then because, well, they're going to get us. And then the Klan was running around then doing what they wanted to do. I'm sorry. I can't really go with that, that being fearful just because we think it happened. I mean, come on now. I'm sorry. I just can't go with that. I mean, maybe, no, that's fine for you. Not, I mean, that's your, that's not, how you feel, and that's fine.
It's not here. It's fact. It's not.
Well, sir,
fact. But
may I say, I'd be honored if they had an operative right now, if we were doing something so great like the groups you named, and they had to feel like they had to disassemble us. But at this point in time, they don't need covert operations because our own, those blacks you speak up that they use them now to me more than ever, especially in a multimedia world. And I agree with you, but I guess I'm an ill-humored person. Like I said, I take it as a compliment if the government was watching us and whatnot as they once did because we were making moves as Brother Malcolm was about to take us to the international level to where they were looking at apartheid in South Africa. It's like he said, whoa, the stuff we were we've been taking abuse on this land, on this soil, that should be up there. But his own murdered him before that happened. But right now they don't need any operations because the demise is coming within. So I'm to the point with the government. I agree with advice to an extent. I'm not worried about them because largely on a whole, blacks aren't doing much of anything that is positive, really positive. I'm not talking about sucking off of a grant's tit and being corrupted and mismanaging money on different things. I'm not talking about what you have materially. I'm not talking about college. I'm talking about doing something good as a community in this country, Black America, that's so beautiful like it used to be, that they needed those operations. And to me, if we get back to that point, because I agree with Brother Huey, the struggles in the youth, the revolution, excuse me, is in the youth, not the old. If we can get back to that point, that's our then we should look at the covert operations.
I don't think you're going to achieve that inside of the United States system. Absolutely not. So if you're working underneath the United States structure as black people, you're not going to achieve that goal at all because they're definitely not going to let you achieve that as a group of people underneath the structure of the United States system, because the system is definitely not even working for whites today, so it definitely ain't gonna work for a majority of black people. So,
well, I have to say, not to cut you off, sir, but black people need to understand our struggle was atrocious, it was violent, it was bloody, but that same white man has oppressed some of the segments of his own and other people, namely Latinos and Latinas and the Native Americans or the indigenous people of this land. They did it to them, and still they still can move their commerce and they still handle their business better than blacks. What about the Native Americans? They wiped them out. I'm sure you know the history. But them reservations, some of them, not all of them, they still keep their stuff in their community with these casinos and things that have come up in the last 30 years better than blacks do. And, well, and as advice said, I worry about an operation when we can get on the same page or what we need to do. Then we can worry about that because this isn't yesteryear. It isn't.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but if you're working underneath the United States system, it's not going to work.
I always pose a question like this to blacks like yourself in this United States system, which I know is very messed up, and I know it's been historically since the induction of this country. Why do blacks like you with that mindset stay in the United States? Why even stay? If you feel nothing can be done and the government, which does have the upper hand more times than not, especially in an apathetic society like we're in now, and that's across the board, why even stay here? Why not just move to one of the countries in Africa or go to Canada where it's supposed to be a lot more laid back for blacks and whatnot? There's other Afro nations. Why stay here?
Well, I probably ask myself that every day. But for blacks, I ask that too. Why would they want to continue to stay inside of a United States system? I never understood.
Well, let me say, I'm going to say something, and I'm going to have to wrap, at least I have to go to another call. Why in the world should black people abandon this nation when our ancestors built this place? Why?
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
That's stupid. We built this whole nation, blood, sweat, and tears, literally. I mean, literally, have done that in this land. And we post this all, just, oh, okay, well, we got to leave because they don't treat us right. Now, forget that. We got just as much stake in this country as anybody else that come over here. Maybe even
Well, you might have built the United States, but it's not yours, and it never will be. You see, the thing is that it's just plain and simple. The United States system is not for black people. Never will be. Never will.
All right, but
before you let him go, advice. Hold on. Advice. Before you let him go.
You know what, sir?
Again, why are you here?
Look, sir. Look, you go ahead and have happy trails. I'm going to get the next call. You fear the U.S. government? Do what you do. Have a great day, sir. Cause I can't listen to this no more. It's rare if I ever get to the point I want to cut somebody off. I tried, guys. I tried. I can't hear somebody black be that weak to don't want to stand up. Say, well, the government. But the government been messing with us until we got here. That's nothing new. So we supposed to just roll over and just be victims. That's what I'm talking about. That part of the black community has to die. We need, and I stated in my video, we need to stop being professional victims and being professional fighters. But we'll fight each other all day long. We're great at that. But we won't fight against the things that we need to fight against. Now, they got some brothers and sisters out here to fight. But I'm sorry. I mean, and see, this is the thing. We talk a lot about what black women do. But black men got a hand, too. And black men like that supposed to lead our family? That'd be the main ones going to run away. Instead of defending the family, leaving that woman to fend for herself while he ducking and hiding. Now, I've seen more black women have more backbone this day and time than black men. And it's sad. He's not the only one. It's sad. It just makes me sick as a man to hear somebody talk like that. United States system, and I don't care about that. So I'm supposed to be a punk the rest of my life and have him raise my son to be a punk and don't want to stand up for himself? I mean, come on. I don't know. I got to move on to the next call. I can't. Mm-mm. Sorry, I wouldn't raise like that. Erico 269, you on the show?
Yeah, well, brother, I hate to disappoint you, but I'm going to agree with some of what the previous caller was saying. But there's a couple of things that he left out. We're also looking at a panel of ex-Black Panthers. And the discussion was, you know, the state of black boys and the state of black men. And one of the panthers said something that was very profound. He said, listen, he said, if the government had left us alone, there wouldn't be any gangs and there wouldn't be any drugs in the black community. They represented the rites of passage for African boys. So what we're doing now is analyzing the demise of a people who were in a war and we have lost. Now, that's not talking negative. That's not cowering down. That's just a matter of fact. And when you analyze this correctly, it should determine your next moves. I agree 100%. Blacks who have any sense should not be attempting to rebuild any type of communities within the United States government. Now, that does not mean...
So we don't want to rebuild anything, so basically, so what you're going to do is get your passport and just leave, right?
Hold on. We're going to get to that right now. Now, all races are international people. America is a European expansion. You don't tell them to go back home. So, but they have a home base. America is not the home base for African people. It's not, as Jay-Z said, this is not where we pitch from. So if you don't have that understanding, and then Marcus Garvey told you. He said, until Africa is rebuilt by Africans, you will not see a strong African anywhere else on the planet. Now, that's deep, if you understand that. So here we are spinning our wheels and marking time. We got crack babies. All of these are signs of the people who have gotten their ass kicked. Here you go, brother. You said, well, man, where are we going to be right now? If me and you were on the beach and you were bent on building a sandcastle, and every time you got to the end, I came and kicked that shit over, right? You say, oh, man, I'm going to rebuild again. You get right to the top, and I come kick that shit over again. At some point, brother, you don't have to do one or two things. Kick my ass so I don't tap your sandcastle, or take your ass to another beach. Why is this so hard to understand? This is a European expansion. It does not belong to you. And the brother is correct again. Just because you got your ass whooped and he made you help build it, don't mean your name is on the deed. Where did we get that from?
Can you repeat that? I couldn't hear the last part. Can you say that again?
I said, just because he kicked your ass and made you help build this European expansion does not mean your name is on the deed.
Well, I feel like this, I'm one to agree with government disturbing the black community, to say the least, and since this country's been here. However, the times of Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, and all these people, they're gone, and it's our time now. And I agree with the advice, because if that's the whole way of thinking, a couple things. Our grandparents should have felt the same way and not gotten beat up in Selma. Vivian Hood and James Malone, I might have those names backwards, forgive me, the first two blacks in Alabama State with the National Guard, they should have just laid down and not did nothing. And I'm not with this apathy and it getting excused because of things of the past, because in the last 40 years, due to the black man and black woman's grow of the love of money or the illusion of, we've been our own worst enemy. We've been our own worst enemy.
You don't know the definition of apathy, and I don't think the devil does either. I think you're misconstruing what's being said. What you're being offered is correct analysis. And with correct analysis, it should determine your next moves. Our agenda should be to strengthen any budding African republic on the planet, and there are a number of them. America is not one.
Well, that would leave me with the question again. Why are you here?
Then how will we go about
it? Now, let me answer that one. I'm going to answer it personally. Not only am I here, I'm in Haiti. I'm involved in politics in Haiti. Wait a minute. You asked the question I'm giving you. Not only am I in Haiti, I'm in Uganda.
Okay.
So we're an international people, so we need to keep that in our focus. I'm just saying that you have to have a home base, and then you stretch out from there. You have enough history here in America. How many times are we going to keep bumping our heads trying to develop something in this European expansion and get pulled down?
Well, let's talk about this. How is it that the Hispanic community has built stuff, the Asian community has done it, the Arab community has done it, the Jewish community has done it, everybody else, even the gays have done it as of recent, got a lot of ground in this country. But you say we shouldn't do it, even though all these other groups have done it. You know, we should just go ahead and get our passports, leave.
Listen, brother. Let me give you a bit of history. The best of the black community you've already seen, everything that you've seen that the Hispanic has done, the African-American has already done. It has reached this pinnacle of black-owned businesses, black banks, black independent schools. This is nothing new. Okay, do you guys know any of the history here of African people? And do you know any history here of African people and what they've been able to achieve? You act as if what you're saying the Hispanic community is doing now, we haven't done.
I agree with that. Nobody's saying about what they've done and what they haven't done. I'm talking about today. I ain't talking about what we've done in the past. I'm talking about 2014.
That's right.
Today, what we're
so
doing
what
today.
Do,
we can't live on past glory.
You,
we got to talk
you're
about
not
what
living
we're doing
on
today.
The past, brother. You need to know what happened to it so that you can move forward. What happened to the black-owned banks? Do you know?
No,
you
tell
know,
me. I want to hear what you say.
Black independent schools.
Same thing with the theaters and whatnot. A lot of Negroes got greedy, like with the same thing that happened with BET and all that stuff. See, this is my gripe. A couple things.
Okay.
This is my gripe. It's like advice said, so what are we supposed to do as younger people? When I say younger now, I'm talking 40 and down. What are we supposed to do, lay down and die? What are we supposed to do? My thing is with the black banks, the black TV-owned networks and all that good stuff, a lot of our people got greedy, absolutely greedy. And as brother said in the last call, and I fully agree with this, they've been using blacks to infiltrate the community for years, and we need to get a hold on them Negroes too, because I agree with advice. I'm not, as an 80s kid, and you said about a homeland, again, American blacks need to figure out what you are, because I feel like this. My grandfathers fought for this country, as did my father, and whether they're citizens or quote-unquote citizens or not, this is what these men did. They sacrificed for this country. They helped build this country. So in my opinion, this is my homeland. I haven't done my family tree all the way back to Africa. But a lot of the countries in Africa, when they're on their behinds, they look to African Americans to help them.
Mm-hmm.
So we must have did something right. We are great people, and we can be great again, government or no government. And if you're scared to get that ass whipping, I suggest you go to another country. But then again, most African countries and whatnot, they're getting their asses whipped anyway. This is my home. I'm from New England. This is the United States. I didn't ask for my ancestors to be brought here, but I'll be damned if I'm not proud of what my ancestors accomplished to this point. So my black behind can go to school, ride a bus, get a decent wage, be a part of the so-called quote-unquote middle class. Shots out to Detroit, the first black middle class. And, yeah, a lot of our stuff got burned down and whatnot. But it's time to rebuild. Absolutely time to rebuild. Like as I said, $1.1 trillion spending power. And we could get that $1.1 trillion in the important aspects of our community. We wouldn't need no government or nothing else because our grandparents didn't need them and our great-grandparents damn sure didn't need them. And all these blacks that talk like you and the brother that was before you, I'm not saying you're completely wrong, so please don't get me wrong. I agree with some of the things you guys are saying. However, why are you still here? Why not go to Johannesburg and help them out with their struggle? That's Mother Africa and all that stuff, but a lot of Africans don't even, and this hurts more than the whites. Africans will come here and treat us worse than, I know I've had the experience, treat us just like we're nothing. Like, we are nothing.
But I'll make one more point, and I'll get off the air. Just one more point. Sister, the top 9 Ivy League white European colleges and their trust funds, meaning all of the money that they're investing, do you know where it's invested at?
No, I don't.
Africa.
Okay.
The top 10 global equity funds by foreigners, do you know where 80% of their holdings are?
More than likely Africa.
Africa.
Well, may I say something to that?
And we were out of stupid ass. Everybody understands where the next frontier is. But you have these stupid ass African Americans like yourself hanging on to the ankle of this European expansion talking about we're going to do it in America. Good luck.
Well, with all due respect, I don't like these
things. But at the same time, I would like for us to help build up Africa. But as a whole, what can we do here? Because not everybody, it's not possible for everyone to pick up and go to Africa and build there. So what are we going to do right here? And to call us dumbasses was actually not needed. You don't.
I was going to say.
To get your point across.
Gabriella, I'm glad you said that. The calling us stupid asses, I don't think that's really needed
I want to address something. You know, I say I don't know. You know, you saying that you know we dumbasses and all this other stuff. First of all, sir, we didn't call you out your name on this program, so I don't get like why you calling us names. Not one time have we called you out your name. So you're trying to insult our intelligence because we don't agree with you. If you think that, you know, people are stupid, well, just, you know, get your passport and carry yourself on to whatever African country or Jamaica or Haiti. Just do you. I mean, that's it. You ain't got to deal with us no more. I don't really see what's so hard about that. But some of us feel that we should fight, and some of us feel that we should build upon the work of our ancestors that work hard for this land. Because some of us don't feel like we should just run away from it. Sorry. That's how I feel. But thank you for calling.
Well, I'll fight for America before Haiti.
I don't understand.
Go live in the poorest country in this hemisphere. And as far as Africa is concerned, it shouldn't be too big of a surprise how cowardly a lot of our men are, because a lot of Africans are cowards. We're in 2014, and they're still getting colonized by not just us, not just the states, China, Australia, England. If they're such a powerful people, why aren't they fighting for their own lands and resources? I don't think calling anyone any stupid, like I said, because they disagree with you, shows your intelligence at all. So have fun in Haiti.
Yeah, that's what I say. Go do you. I'm not mad at you as you want to go over there. You know, it is what it is. Let's see. This caller been sitting here the longest. Area code 252, you're on the show.
Hello. Hey, how you doing, Abbas?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Pretty good, man. I've been waiting for a while, man. I didn't think I was going to get on the air this time.
Oh, yeah, you on. I made sure I'm running over a little bit so I can get the last two people in before we wrap it up. So what's on your mind?
All right, thanks. All right, well, the last two callers, I would just have to disagree with them because they were talking about the whole government thing, and I'm not buying that because nobody's forcing black people to do crack, or no one's forcing black people to, you know, have a lot of babies and destroy their own community. It's black people doing that to themselves. So, I mean, like,
exactly.
Why are you going to blame the government for that? I mean, you're responsible for your own actions.
You know, they always
black
say,
people need to be responsible for their own actions.
Well,
you can't just blame the government.
Well, hold on. They always say this. Well, they're bringing all the guns in the neighborhood. You don't have to take.
Yeah,
they're
like,
bringing all the drugs
in
the neighborhood.
Forcing you to get
you
the guns.
It's
forcing
them.
You to buy that stuff. No one's putting it in your hand and say, use it. It's you. It's your own mentality and your own mind doing that. Like, black people, we became weak. Like, we became our own stereotypes, and we live up to it every day. Like,
well,
that's what we do.
I'm not going to lie with you, and I'm so glad I was raised around real strong, old-school black men. I cannot stand this new breed of black men. That's why I did some videos in the past called A Modern-Day Emotional Male, because I cannot stand these weak black men. I mean, it is ridiculous.
I agree.
How afraid they are. They have no backbone. The only time they got courage is when they want to stand up to somebody else black. But anybody else, they ducking their head, they're not looking at them in the eye. You know, they yes, sir, no, sir type of stuff. Like, I'm the type of person, man, please. I don't put up with none of that stuff for nobody. I treat everybody the same. I wish you would come across at me crazy with racism, whatever, because I'm going to give it right back to you. But, you know, some of these are don't you say that, that you going to lose that job. Like, man, come here looking for a job. I leave here looking for one, too.
Why do you say it like a slave? I'm sorry.
That's how they act. That's how they act. These black, a lot of these black men, that's why I say it. They so weak. I get behind and fight something with a black woman in a day over some of these black dudes. Because these black dudes are weak. They are weak. They're so afraid. You got two callers. One calling us dumbasses because we say to fight. You're like, we should leave. And the other one, well, it sounds good to come together, but, you know, you're not.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't understand that. Like, he brought up some points, but he didn't have a solution. Like, why are you going to say all these points?
I'm not looking for a magic solution. I'm just talking about.
Yeah, he's going to bring up all these points, but he didn't have a solution. He was just like, he was stuck. Like, basically, he was stuck. He didn't know what to do. Like, if you're going to be like that, and the person who was saying, like, America is a European, blah, 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 it's like you have black people in Europe doing better than the black people in America. You have black people, you know, in New England or what do you call it?
Hey, check this out. Are you on my Facebook fan page?
Yeah. No, I don't have Facebook. I don't have Facebook, nah.
Okay, well, if you ever get a chance just to go to it, it's facebook.com/TheAdvised Show. Check it out. I got a video on there about an African family. This woman started her beauty business just with $100, and now it's a multi-million-dollar company. And this is from Africa, okay?
Yeah.
And they don't have the resources that we have, and yet they did this by themselves in Africa. So don't give me that black people can't do good and whatever.
Yeah,
they don't
exactly.
have perfect stuff over there. I mean, we could do so. I'm going to tell you, the blacks in this country are the richest blacks in the world. Everybody knows that.
Exactly.
But we
exactly.
are the blacks.
But we act the dumbest, man.
Money.
We act the dumbest. Yeah. And it's like, since we are, like, the richest, and we're well-educated. We're supposed to be well-educated. We have a free education and all that. Yet we represent, basically we represent our race. Basically, black people in America, we represent our race. And the way that we act, the whole world is looking at it. You know, we release these videos and all that stuff. It's like the whole world's watching. Like, black people don't think anymore. It's like we destroying ourselves, basically.
Well, young man, I'm going to tell you something that Suge Knight said once that he learned about the record industry, and I'm going to equate this to the last two callers and others around their age because I've heard that crap before. Some things aren't about black and white. Some things are about young and old. And I'm almost thoroughly convinced that a lot of the people that are in their 50s and early 60s, you know, the ones that were born around and participated in the civil rights movement, if I didn't know any better, because they're some of the hardest ones on the young blacks, and I'm saying young 40 and down, I there's a piece of me that feels like they just don't want us to surpass what they did. Because if you want to be honest, all these 50-something-year-olds beat their chest about civil rights and all this other stuff. The civil rights movement was never finished. It was never finished because of the four key assassinations in the 60s. I'll let you research that on your own. They were never really finished. And now one brought up the Black Panthers and this group and that group. Those Negroes, a lot of them became drug dealers of the 80s, got strung out in different things. And it almost feels to me that a lot of that people from that generation, black people, It's the same thing with music or a lot of things. They do not want to see us, younger people, because I'm not in my 20s, I'm not young per se, younger people surpass the things they did. They're one of the first ones to say, oh, you can't build this and this and that. I'm not trying to build what we used to have because I'm smart enough to know some things have nothing to do with the black community. Again, some of the government selling out our jobs to China has a lot to do with American society and the black community on a whole. And I get this feeling, as I've told plenty of older people in their 50s, particularly in the streets, don't give up on us yet. Because it feels like they've given up or they mislead so no one will surpass them in their efforts. And then they're talking about, oh, Africa, blah, blah, blah. Well, why don't you get your passport and go to one of those countries over there where you can get your head still slit off? They don't talk about that, or Haiti for that matter. Haiti is the poorest country in this hemisphere. The United States historically hates Haiti because they fought back from becoming slaves. And the United States have been punishing them ever since. All this stuff you can look up on your own. But to me, it feels like they don't want us to surpass their efforts. They're comfortable in saying, oh, it's never going to be different, this and that. And meanwhile, a lot of those 50-something-year-olds and a little older, they're responsible for a lot of the insanity you see, not a 20-year-old, because if you're 20, you just got here in 1994. You ain't do all this. But if you're 54, 55, 64, you've been here a lot longer. So it would seem to me you're more responsible for this mess we see out here than the younger people are. Absolutely.
I mean, I agree with you and all that, but at the same time, it depends on the person. Like, I mean, you can't really say that about every black person, because, I mean, just speaking about my family, you know, we're raised in a military family, so my dad was really strict on us. He raised us right, you know, and he wanted us to be the best that we could be. I think a lot of black people just need that mentality of be the best that you can be. Stop worrying about what everybody else is doing. Just worry about yourself. You know, I think black people need to have that mentality and help each other out. Once you get it, help each other out. Don't, like, right now we're fighting over crumbs. Let's get a full meal first. Let's get a full meal first. Like, I don't want to play that whole government, you know, feel sorry for the black person thing when you have control of your own life.
Well,
like, I
agree. And don't ever get me wrong. I'm not talking about righteous elder blacks. Don't ever get me wrong, because you have great people from that generation. I'm talking about the momos that contributed to the first wave of baby mamas.
Okay,
I'm talking about
okay.
the momos that'll sit on a corner and talk about young men your age, because you sound like you're in your 20s, and how they don't do this and that and the other, and you've been standing in the same place since 86 talking about the good old days
and how
the young people do this and this and that and the third. Listen here, Hops, a lot of you all are the reason for a lot of this insanity.
That's
true. It isn't people like my family. Like, I'll tell you, my mother was a wife. All her sisters were wives, sometimes twice over. And I don't know anything. I grew up wanting to be a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know any other way. I don't know any other way. And then you got these broads out here, and I'm being very nice with that name, that would be around my mother's age, that my mother and aunts used to talk about back in the 80s, that were having all these babies and collecting welfare then.
That's
so
true.
A lot of this stuff comes from some of the so-called elders in the community. And like I said, I have a sneaking suspicion they do not want young blacks surpassing what they did. Not all, not the real blacks, not like your parents, Advice's parents, Gabrielle's parents. We may not agree on everything, but 2 + 2 = 4. Not my parents. And nobody's parents are perfect, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these 50-something-year-olds that are still living in 1987 because that was their heyday, or 1967 when Motown was here and all that and the country was so great. They don't want us surpassing them. It feels like I get that feel from so many elder, quote-unquote, blacks, and that shit has to cease. Now I could tell both of those men were somewhere in their later 40s, early 50s by the things they were saying and different things. Like I told that man, I wouldn't have a problem with the government wanting to infiltrate some shit because we were doing it on such a grand level, like the Black Panthers or any of the civil rights leaders. But right now, they don't have to do all that shit
because yeah.
black people are doing a great job, like you said, living out their own stereotypes.
Yep.
And our so-called elders ain't doing a thing about it.
That's sad. And like I say, what that says, that man, I appreciate you calling. Let me try to get it to these other two so I can wrap it up.
All right. Thanks.
Good night.
All right. Well, I'm going to see here. Area code 239, you on the show. Area code 239?
Yeah.
Hey, you got anything to say?
No, I was listening to that, bro. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay, we got one more call. Area code 678, you on the show. Area code 678. I don't know who this was, too. I guess he ain't hearing. 678, guess not. All right, well, nobody answered. Then I'm going to go ahead and try to close this one out. So, Rochelle, definitely want to appreciate you joining the show tonight with us once again. It was very interesting. The exchange of you and the other lady. I had to sit back and say, man, I need my popcorn for this one.
Well, advice. Women like her generally don't like me. And I'm glad she doesn't like me. I don't sass anyone but my parents, no, because I know what a woman like her is about. The shit doesn't happen overnight. I know women like her. She knew. And my crusade isn't for black young men and boys. I'm starting with our girls and our women. And a lot of it, we need to get rid of hoes like that, too, because if I wanted to be for it, I already know what you are just by the way she was talking, by what she said. Just like the inkling I had with your first caller, I'm pretty good at reading people, even though I'm not in their face.
Oh, you know,
and
speaking
that's why
of that,
she wouldn't
hey,
say the year
that,
and all that stuff.
Hold on, speaking of that, he messaged me on Facebook, and he has said, hold on, matter of fact, no, he actually sent me a picture of himself. And he said, you know, he's just standing there, you know, he said, I'm not white. I was raised in the hood, brother. And he had a picture of himself. I mean, I knew he was black. I knew that, you know. And I told him, I said, I know that. I said that on the show. And he said, oh, yeah, I live in the hood and not in the suburbs. So he was trying to, you know, let everybody know he's black. And
well,
a picture.
I'm not sold. I can take a picture of Beyonce and put it as my picture. It's like I said, not his voice. It's what he said and how he worded
it.
I'm
not trying to hash it. I'm just saying he had did that, but, you know, because you mentioned it. Anyway, you got any way for people to contact you, or you want, you know, people to hit you up on any of your pages, or what you got going on?
Well, not right now. I'm still doing my degree and my good work, as I call it, but when I do start my video blogs and whatnot, you'll be the first to know, because you were one of my first subscriptions, so you'll be the very first to know. And I thank you and Gabriella for having me on the show, because I feel so honored. I really do.
Oh, we don't mind having you here. I mean, so you it's pretty cool. I mean, I just sit back and just say, oh, boy, here we go.
Well, I have a more direct approach in my message. And like I said, I've had it with these bad bitches, these hoes, these baby mamas, and all this other stuff. And one of the reasons that lady caller, she's still listening, one of the reasons you got so mad is because you know I'm telling the truth. There ain't no way on God's green earth that woman was in her 20s.
Yeah, no, she's still,
and
98. She's still on the line listening. She's still there.
I'm sure she is. And that's my mission, to help our little girls and the girls coming up, because I don't want to see them repeat the same mistakes the women of the 90s and the 80s did. And I don't even have children yet. I don't want my daughter having a baby by someone who can't get a money order but can make a baby. That's a problem. That's a big problem. And women like her don't seem to understand that. And no, I don't feel sorry for her baby's daddy, no more than I'll feel sorry for that child when he gets older. Because it's okay because you feel bad that he can't fill out a money order, but he can procreate with your daughter without a ring. That's not very smart. Not at all. But it's been fun advice. And like I said, when I do start blogging, you'll be the first to know. Unless we get together and do some work, I'm not opposed to that either.
Okay. All right.
Right. And Gabriella, shouts out to North Carolina. It was nice talking to you again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're so soft-spoken. And I'm sorry, I have a big mouth, so I'm sorry, guys. But thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you, Rochelle. And we'll definitely keep in touch.
All right, do that.
All right,
good luck with everything. All right,
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, Ms. Gabriella. Had an interesting part of the show tonight. You know, we called names. We heard some back and forth. I was about to get my popcorn earlier, though. I was like, dog, boy, they're getting into it.
That's what makes the show interesting, though.
Yeah, it does. It really does. So, as always, Ms. Gabriella, go ahead and do your thing.
All right. I just put a video up. I've already got a couple people giving me some flack about it. Long story short, I made a video talking about how I don't agree with all these people fly by night, so-called fitness experts making
profiting off of people that don't know what they're talking about. So you can go ahead and check me out on YouTube. It's youtube.com/user/GIGIAYUMU. On my channel, you can, in the description of all my videos, you can find where you can hook up with me on all my other social media pages. The best way to get in contact with me right now is to add me on Twitter. My Twitter link is in the description of all my YouTube videos. So make sure you connect with me on there. I will get back to you right away because it's the easiest to see. So with that being said, that's all I had to say tonight.
All right. I want to appreciate everybody joining the show tonight. And, you know, those who couldn't view the show, we'll put it on the Advisory Media channel, I think, tomorrow or so. So I guess, you know, if you haven't seen it, look out for that. You know, as always, like I said, we put up our videos for the day. And make sure you like the Facebook fan page because we got a video that we're going to put up on the website as well. But I'll leave the link and everything on the Facebook fan page. So make sure you join that. That's free. So thank you for joining us, and have a good night.